about.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Maybe if I press this button.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good! It feels so good to be alive!
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
You know what the problem is here, Brandon? The sticky green, the cannabis sativa, the sensimilia.
Marijuana? Which is serious stuff. Major stuff, so I hear. It's a gateway drug.
Hi, Lisa here. So last week, there was a baked potato mishap.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Open Gangnam Star.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is a black guy.
Roll another one.
Is a Mexican guy?
Just like the other one.
I call bullcrap.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What's the matter? You smell something?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Would you please stop doing that?
Roll another one.
Do you want to rape America?
Just like the other one. That's
exactly what he just said.
This one seems to be about to end.
Boston.
Pancake.
I don't have another cent.
Clucking the heck? Seriously? Cluck you.
Jacksonville, Illinois, hello.
Just pass it around.
Those balls are sensational.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Charge is absolutely not true.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
Bean, you're such a idiot. Stupid. Your face is an exploding pimple.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, with the European. Hey.
Don't need that.
Why is my face an exploding pimple, by the way?
How do we know? You tell us.
Why does she think that, though?
I think she was mad at you for playing that video.
I have lovely skin. Oh, is that what it was? That YouTube video we put on the Roundup? Yeah.
I have lovely skin, you just said.
I do, by the way.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning.
You hang on to all you got, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a bizarre story. I am always amazed by science, as you know, and especially the way they have figured out a way to make products. I mean, the ingredients that go into things that we use every day, I think, would astonish us. The way they figured out how to make things. For instance, did you know that there is a substance in perfume? There's a substance called ambergris that they use to prolong the scent of perfume. That they put in every bottle of perfume.
No, so you put it on in the morning and then all day long you smell that way?
Yes, there's a substance in all perfumes so that it doesn't immediately evaporate. And the substance comes from regurgitated vomit from sperm whales.
What?
Yes. Now, how did they figure that out?
Yeah, who was the first guy person?
Who said, hey, this perfume is wearing off after a couple of hours. I wonder if there's anything in the puke of a sperm whale that might keep this around a little bit longer.
That's bizarre.
Right?
I don't want to put that on my body.
Well, the reason it's in the news right now is an 8-year-old boy is walking along a beach in southern Britain, and he picks up a large object that looks and feels like a stone, but it is, in fact, nearly a pound of this ambergris, which turns out to be extremely valuable.
What?
It could be worth as much as $63,000.
What?
He is into nature and really interested in it, said Charlie's father, Alex. We've discovered it is quite rare. We're waiting for some more information from the marine biology experts. They're unsure what to do with the profits, but they're talking about building an animal shelter. How crazy is this?
Based on the whale sperm.
The sperm whales vomit.
Oh, sperm whales vomit. Okay.
Yes.
So that's so much better. Yeah.
Oh, you were thinking this was coming from the other end?
Yes. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, no. This is the sperm whales vomit.
I was afraid
of
that.
Vomit. Yeah.
All right.
So apparently, and I don't know how they normally find this ambergris to find it for perfume, but it sounds to me, based on what I'm reading in this article, that they usually go out and find it out in the water. It doesn't usually wash up onto the shore. Well, maybe it's something that they go out and look for floating on the top of the water.
What a bad job that is.
When it does end up on shore, it's usually worth its weight in gold. In 2006, a man found a piece of ambergris that weighed 32.5 pounds on a beach in South Australia.
Wow.
Estimated to be worth nearly $300,000.
Wow. And I wonder how many times people came across something like that and threw it away, thinking,
yes,
this is gross.
Yeah, I would never know what it was. And it doesn't look gross, by the way. If you saw it, you wouldn't think anything of it. It just looks like a big rock or something that's on the shore. I mean, it's a, you know, maybe a little different color depending on where you are. But, I mean, who would ever imagine that it would be this one-pound rock would be worth $60,000?
That's absurd.
So the key here, the takeaway, the lesson, kids, is you got Labor Day weekend coming up.
Right.
Go out there, find yourself some sperm whales, get them drunk, and then just stand by. Just wait for vomit.
Just wait for vomit. That's the theory of the show.
Yeah, just wait for vomit, and then you just scoop that up, and you get yourself some riches.
I feel like I'm being set up, like I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go in and, you know, take it into the proper authorities, and they're going to go, what? No, it's worthless.
Crazy story, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I just got an erection.
Remember yesterday we were talking about the alien abduction girl who was explaining
yes,
to
us. Yes, I do. About her hybrid children and everything.
She has hybrid children. She's gone on the ship. She's been abducted many times.
I love her.
We're talking to her.
I love her even more.
How about that?
I love her so much.
And it's not so much that she's a 10. She's pretty, but for people who've been abducted by aliens, she's a 10 that category. Kevin Smith will be here.
Wow.
Love him. Always love having him in. We have Adam Carolla this week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Movie Beat. And what did you do while you were on Ambien? Seems to be one of those weird drugs that kind of interacts with everybody differently. And some people will get up in the middle of the night and eat, I don't know, a couple of meals and go back to bed. And then they get up in the morning and they go, what happened? Other people get behind the wheel of a car and drive to a restaurant or something like that. It's just bizarre, this Ambien. So we're going to take your calls coming up on that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is K-Rock, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
How much Ambien did you have last night, Kevin?
No Ambien, but I slept absolutely zero.
Should have taken some Ambien then.
Should have. Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem,
no
man.
A, I would have slept.
Drugs.
B, I could have talked about it.
You take drugs for everything else all the time.
How
you're constantly
dare you?
On drugs, and yet when you need the drugs, you won't take the drugs.
How dare you,
We're just saying take the drugs.
Take the drugs. Take a lot of them. It's 551 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Take all of them?
Take all of the drugs.
Ralph,
take a long nap that way.
I didn't want to mention the most surreal chapter in American politics that happened last night. Kevin had not heard about it when he came in this morning. I wanted to let you break the news to him and everybody else what they slept through by not watching the RNC last night, because it truly was performance art, wasn't it?
You didn't watch the greatest news sitcom on television?
No, I missed that.
You missed Clint in the Chair? My new favorite show?
Clint in the Chair.
Good Clint in the Chair. Actually, they should take over mornings over on KLOS.
Yes, they should.
Clint in the Chair. Clint Eastwood took the stage at the RNC last night. It was a big deal to have high-profile Hollywood celebrity like that. And Hollywood, of course, famously favors the Democratic candidates.
Right.
The Republican candidate was represented by a legendary movie star, director, writer, Clint Eastwood.
And an icon, and a man who is admired by all, no matter political stripes. He's just he's a great American.
And a guy who maybe shouldn't be on stage speaking.
Anymore.
Ever. Ad-libbing, sort of riffing, kind of...
What happened with the chair?
He's your crazy old grandfather.
What's that about?
He took an empty chair and put it on stage.
All right.
And talked to the chair as if he was addressing our president, Barack Obama.
As if he was sitting in it?
As if Barack was sitting in the chair.
All right.
And Clint would talk to the chair as if Barack Obama was sitting there.
All right.
And he wasn't. I'll give you a spoiler alert right now. Barack Obama was not sitting in the chair on stage.
It was empty.
RNC. It was an empty chair.
Okay.
And he talked to it and said... important things about the, you know, about how we need to have a businessman take a chance at being a president, because I never thought being an attorney being a president was a good idea, and not everybody in Hollywood is left. There's some conservatives and I'm moderates there. We just play it closer to the vest, and he just dressed down the president basically to an empty chair. It looked like the Alzheimer's hour.
That's weird.
It was odd.
But at least he's like 80, and he didn't have a script, and he ad-libbed it, and it was 12 minutes.
Yeah, it was a fumfering, sort of embarrassing, weird moment of, as Bean said, performance art.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I bet you do, because it made your side look a lot stronger.
The Romney campaign, by the way, when asked about it, said, judging an American icon like Clint Eastwood through a typical political lens doesn't work.
That's right.
Ah.
You don't understand it. It's the M. Night Shyamalan defense.
Sure. Look, there are a lot of reasons to promote Mr. Romney. There are a lot of reasons to be, against Mr. Obama.
Sure.
But Clint Eastwood did no one a favor last night. He made himself look bad. He made the campaign look bad. I don't know that there was a winner last night.
It was the chair. It was the American viewer.
Maybe the chair.
Anyone who witnessed that will be able to carry that with them forever.
Well, I'm following the hot new Twitter account, Invisible Obama, and enjoying it very much. They got a lot to say over there.
That should have been his first complaint. You, sir, are invisible. All right, let's talk about other showbiz news. Sofia Vergara has officially announced that she is indeed engaged to her longtime boyfriend, Nick Loeb.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I love his song, Cruel to Be Kind. That's one of my favorites. I think she's a very, very lucky woman to be spending time with a guy who was in...
Ralph, that was Nick Loeb. That's Nick Loeb. This is Nick Loeb, different guy altogether.
What?
Nice.
No word on when they will tie the knot, but she says it's going to happen, which is bad news for all of us.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Yeah, I'd like to send her to the pants party. Bad news for all of us, because we all thought, you know, we had a shot.
Well, we're on the list, right? That's how it works.
She seemed like a goer and a good sense of humor and a girl who liked a good time.
You thought
maybe in the right situation, at the right party, if we crossed paths, things magic could have happened. But,
it's about 50-50. That's the way I figure it.
It was 50-50.
That's the way I figure it.
Leanne Rimes has some problems. She is checking herself into a 30-day treatment inpatient facility.
Oh, that's tough.
To cope with anxiety and stress.
Really?
I had no idea. You could be addicted to that. She is going into a facility for anxiety and stress. No word on whether she expresses her anxiety and stress with a bottle of Maker's Mark and a line of blow or not, but it's just for anxiety and stress. She says she's going to learn coping mechanisms. Uh-huh. She wants to emotionally check out for a second and come back as the best 30-year-old woman she can be, she said in her statement. I'm surprised because she goes to the Life Change Community Church. I thought they would be able to counsel her there.
Sure.
Yeah.
There at the Sheridan. Kris Jenner's church, that's the one she attends. I thought maybe she could hang out with the pastor there who's had 14 alleged affairs with other women he was counseling.
It's crazy.
Maybe she went to him and he didn't offer her the kind of counseling she
The best tonic is chronic.
That's what I'm saying, Leanne Rimes. And open your eyes, too, for God's sake. Have them look into that while you're in the facility.
Yeah.
It is the Labor Day weekend coming up. You guys have big plans for Labor Day weekend?
Do not.
Going away? You're going to party?
Gonna, I'm not.
Going to sleep?
You?
You going to sleep, maybe?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm going down to the beach, a little resort with the family. We're going to hang out for a couple of days.
Awesome.
But I will also cut some time out of my weekend to watch the legendary Muscular Dystrophy Association Labor Day Telethon with Jerry Lewis.
How much of that is actually on TV anymore, Ralph? Don't they keep cutting it back every year?
Well, here's the thing. It's no longer a telethon. It is
an infomercial now.
It's a six-hour show, and there's no more Jerry Lewis. So it's really not the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Labor Day Telethon. It's now the No Jerry Lewis miniseries.
Yeah.
It still raises a lot of money every year for a great cause, the battle against muscular diseases that afflict young people specifically. The name of the show has been changed to the MDA Show of Strength. It will originate from here in Los Angeles instead of Vegas the way it did when Jerry ran things, and it's going to be on for only 3 hours this year.
Wow. Jeez. Just let it go.
Beginning at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. You can watch the three-hour Show of Strength. That is ironic. Really, you don't say it's the Show of Strength as you cut back more and more into it. However, they do have a much better lineup of talent than they've ever had before.
That's what I was wondering, because they do get the lowest names in Hollywood every year.
Yeah, here's your lineup. And it's got something for everybody. Carrie Underwood.
Okay. Okay, that's a legitimate star.
Tim McGraw.
All right.
B.O.B.
Okay.
One Republic.
Wow.
All American Rejects. Will I Am. Carmen. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Really?
Carole King. Pitbull, Gavin DeGraw, and Alanis Morissette.
Ryan Gosling.
No, Ryan Gosling will not be on the show.
That's 100 times better than it was in the last few years of Jerry.
It's remarkable. It's usually Norm Crosby and Jack Jones. Apparently
exactly,
they won't make it this year.
People, a lot of people listening don't remember the glory days of the telethon, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph. It used to be a sensation every year. I mean, the whole country watched the whole telethon because it was just the biggest thing going.
It was... I mean, they would have Frank Sinatra on. They would have Dean Martin. They would have Liza Minnelli. I mean, they would have, like, at the time, the largest
early
stars
days.
Of stage, screen, and music.
Right.
I mean, it was... You couldn't see a variety show like that anywhere else. So it was a remarkable thing that everyone tuned into.
And Ed McMahon was his sidekick.
And
it was a great show.
It was at the time, it was groundbreaking. And now it's 3 hours long and mostly taped performances.
Yeah.
But still... Give some money to help kids out who can't walk, for God's sakes. Lady Lion said regarding her bill of $46,000 that the Chateau Marmont says she won't pay. I was told that the producers of the Liz and Dick telemovie I made were going to take care of all that.
Oh.
They didn't give you a check because they
great
said
news. Great news.
They were going to cover it. She lied. Because someone close to the production said, we gave her a $5,000 budget for her accommodations.
Right.
And that's it. We'll give you $5,000 towards your bill.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
If you're going to move into the hotel, we'll give you $5,000, and then you pick up the rest yourself, apparently. So she's not telling the truth, according to sources close to the production.
What? But I thought they were going to... But
apparently Lindsay's also going to move to New York City. Ha! It's not our problem anymore, New York. Everyone, lock up your jewelry. New York Daily News reports that she is headed there to live with her assistant, Gavin Doyle. This is a guy who was recently questioned along with Lindsay about that jewelry theft at that Hollywood Hills home. So, it looks like maybe they shouldn't be hanging out together, but hey, what do I know? It's going to happen after Fashion Week. That's when that's all going to go down. And really quickly, sad news. Sherman Hemsley, you remember him from the Jeffersons, All in the Family, passed away a couple weeks ago. He passed away on July the 24th, but his body is still in a freezer in El Paso, Texas.
Oh.
Seems bad.
It is bad.
Why won't anyone claim the body?
Well, so everyone wants to. That's the problem. He wasn't married, but he left in his will his entire estate, which was only about $50,000, to his partner, Flora Etchington. His longtime girlfriend. Right after his death, a guy stepped up claiming to be his brother. Is now contesting the will, and so the burial is held up until that whole case can be settled. So no idea on when he'll finally be put to rest. But for now, he's a Jeffersonsicle.
That's weird.
That happened to James Brown, remember?
Sure did.
But they were stealing his body.
He kept being moved around from place to place.
Yeah. Remember they hid him in a convenience store freezer or something
remember
for a
that?
Few days?
Yeah, I went in to get some Mike's Hard Lemonade, and I opened up the door, and there's James Brown staring back at me. It was very strange. Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy is 37 years old today. Chris Tucker from Rush Hour is 40. Deborah Gibson, or Debbie, if you grew up in the 80s. She's 42. Richard Gere, this actor... He's been around forever, and it's almost always good.
He's great.
Did you see? I know you're not big musical people, but did you see the movie Chicago based on the Broadway musical Chicago?
No.
Richard Gere's always a guy who could act his ass off, but he sang, he danced, he was remarkable in that production. He is 63 years old.
Wow.
Does he look good? And Van the Man Morrison, legendary singer Van Morrison, is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
To the Kevin and Bean Show. Yep, I started talking before I actually pushed up my microphone.
Oh, it's gonna be a long
day. I tried to turn it on, and that didn't
be a long day, kids.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
You finished?
Absolutely.
Ralph Garman has the movie beat coming up in about 50 minutes or so. Of course, a lot of movies opening in theaters this weekend, including The Possession, which looks very, very scary. Should you see it, he'll let you know. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I have several opportunities, several stories to tell you about. One is a burglar that broke into a house, left the television, left the other valuable items, left everything except for a pink bag that had sex toys in it.
Wait, he broke into a house yep. and left stuff behind rather than took stuff with?
Yep, in Las Fantastic. Vegas. It was a targeted thing. He went in, he left everything that was valuable except for the sex toys. And he took the sex toys. And the woman who lived there sells sex toys for a living. So she's trying to track it down. But that's all the guy took. Could have been a bracelet there, a necklace there. He didn't care. He wanted the sex toys. Man who shipped himself in a box to his girlfriend nearly suffocates after getting lost in the mail. This guy in China thought he was being clever when he asked a friend to box him up and ship him via courier to his girlfriend's office. It was going to be a romantic move, you know. She was going to open the box. He was going to be there. But apparently the problem was the courier got the address wrong, and he ended up almost dying.
How long was he in the box?
They took him... a lot of jokes there. How long was he in the box? It doesn't say, but it does say that when they finally found him, he was passed out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
By the way, this isn't the first time we've seen a story like this in the news where somebody thinks it'd be a great idea. Sometimes it's as a stowaway to get out of a country or something like that. Sometimes it's for this, you know, just to impress a lady. But it's rarely a good idea to ship yourself in a box.
Right. I'd say never.
Because there's no air holes or anything like that, and you it could be very dangerous.
And they asked him about the air holes, and he said, you know, I didn't want to give away the joke.
Sure, of course
so
not.
So he meant it. The next one comes out of North Carolina. A man who'd just been released from jail in Northern Carolina was arrested again for refusing to leave. This guy's 37-year-old Rodney Dwayne Valentine, and he was charged with trespassing. He was released from the Rockingham County Jail Saturday morning after being behind bars since May 22nd. The sheriff's office says he wanted them to drive him to a local motel. They said no. He said, I'm not leaving. So they were releasing him from jail, and then they arrested him for trespassing because he wouldn't leave jail.
Which is what he wanted in the first place. He wanted to stay, right? So they said, all right, you can stay. We'll just close the cell back up.
Being held on $500 bond.
That's how they do it down there in what you call Northern Carolina.
Is that what I said? North Carolina.
I'm afraid so.
This one comes out of China. Fei Lin, 40, apparently was asleep, and some thieves broke into his house. Now, they were not looking for sex toys so much as genitals. So what happened was, he said they put something over his head, they pulled down his pants, and they ran off. He said, quote, I was so shocked, I didn't feel a thing. Then I looked down and saw I was bleeding and my penis was gone.
Oh, what?
They stole his penis.
How do you not know about that?
I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just, who knows? Adrenaline? I don't know.
Remember, with the guy who got his foot cut off by the shark.
Right.
Didn't know it.
Police said the attackers were jealous lovers of several local women. Apparently he was having a bunch of affairs. So they broke into his house, put a bag over his head, took it, and ran off with it.
I feel like I would notice if somebody cut my penis off.
I would think so, too. I would think so, too.
If somebody breaks into my house and comes at me with a knife, I think I'm going to be aware of it.
And finally, for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day, I would like to bring up somebody that is near and dear to our heart. There is neighbors having trouble. One of them is Daniel Collins, 72 years old. And his neighbor, every day, would walk past his door and fart.
You know what I have to say to that? Oh, I thought I was going to fart.
And then the guy yells at him, and then he moves on. And the next day, the guy stops in front of his door and farts. And then the guy gets mad, and then he moves along. And then the next day, he goes outside his door. And this guy finally had it. His name is Daniel Collins, 72 years old. He pulled a gun.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Pulled a gun!
That's where this was headed.
On a guy for farting. But you got to applaud the guy's stick-to-itiveness, right? I mean, that guy every single day would fart right in front of that guy's door.
Did he shoot the guy?
He did not.
Did he shoot the farter?
He didn't.
Thank God.
He pulled a gun, and he was arrested. They called the cops because you can't really point a gun at somebody. And then he had to explain to the cops that he did it because the guy was farting. So
that farter is Jimmy Kimmel's personal Lord and Savior.
Yes, he is.
He'd be his hero for life if he found out about that.
And he's super lucky to be alive as well.
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
I thought I was going to fart.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the...
Right? Right? Who's with me?
Yeah. Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine again.
Let's all pray for sunshine again.
Hey, they wrote that, man.
I cannot believe I'm saying this.
Are you saying I'm not a good actor?
You
is
are.
That your point?
You are the Clint Eastwood of your generation.
Oh no,
yeah.
That was Kevin on the OC, right?
Yeah.
Was it the OC?
I think so. Yeah.
You and Lisa made your appearance.
It's raining in the OC.
You know what's the worst thing about that is that Lisa's perfectly fine.
She sounds very natural. Very,
and that makes me stand out as being worse than I am.
It's like you lifted her right off the radio. It just sounds like she would sound.
Yep.
6:45? All you had to do was sound like a guy who talks on the radio. That was your mission.
But Ralph, I can't really do that either.
Yeah, but but
fake that.
Yeah.
All right.
Friday morning, Ralph is here. It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting group of movies this weekend coming out for the Labor Day weekend. Traditionally not a big weekend for movies. They tend not to release their blockbusters because people are on vacation, they have plans, they're barbecuing, they're out of town.
Yeah, an extra day, though. You'd think they would...
Just since the end of the summer blockbuster season, most of the big movies for those have been given out. This is the beginning of a long stretch we'll have of sort of more artistically... inventive films so they can prepare for the Oscar nominations that come up towards the end of the year. So it's an interesting time in the motion picture scheduling world. Here is your list of films, many of them in limited release, so you'll have to search them out if you want to check them out. But first off is a film called The Tall Man. Jessica Biel stars as a young mother who, when her child goes missing, has to unravel the legend of The Tall Man, an entity who allegedly abducts children. It's like the boogeyman, only he's the tall man.
He sure is tall.
I resent that. I've only abducted a few children.
Here are some scenes from the trailer of The Tall Man.
What, The Tall Man? No, that's a myth. There's no tall man.
He exists.
It's not the boogeyman or the devil or any of that old wives' tale crap.
Hi, guys.
The last kid disappeared 2 months ago. Won't be long before the next one goes.
Doesn't sound like a very good thriller.
It's The Tall Man.
Tall Man.
He's really tall, though.
That's all.
That's all.
Huh.
This one looks more fun. This is also in limited release. A small film, which looks very funny to me. It's For a Good Time Call is the title of the film. Ari Grainer, who I just adore, she is in this film. She stars as a woman who has to make ends meet. So she moves into an apartment with a frenemy of hers from college. And they are an unlikely pair who start a business together in order to make a buck. It's a phone sex line.
Yeah!
All right. Ari Grainer, Lauren Miller star, Justin Long also makes an appearance in this film. It looks very cute and entertaining, and they're both very funny, sexy ladies. Here are some scenes from For a Good Time Call. One of the girls here is asking for help from her friend to start a phone sex line.
Help me make this a business, and I'll pay $100 of your rent until you get another job.
No. Okay, forever? I have an interview tomorrow at Laxton Press. It is the second best publishing house in the world. It is my dream job, and I'm perfect for it.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you go get your fancy pants boring job, and I'll just be here being exciting. Fine.
You know, you're not better than me. You're not better than phone sex.
Better than phone sex.
Better than phone sex. The Good Doctor's in limited release this weekend as well. Orlando Bloom on the big screen, along with Rob Morrow and Riley Keough. A young doctor goes to extreme means in order to remain in the service of a female patient with a kidney disorder. Here is Orlando Bloom and his patients talking about death.
I always thought if I was going to die, I wanted to, like, get shot stopping a crime or something. Do you ever think about stuff like that?
When I was younger, maybe. You're silly.
What did you imagine?
I would think about just walking into the ocean and disappearing like I never existed. And the world would just go on without me.
I love the ocean.
Good times.
Yeah, that's an uplift.
All right.
Make sure to make that a matinee so when you come out, the sun's still up, or else you will take your own life when you go home.
And not a date movie if you're expecting action afterward.
Do you love moonshine? Well, of course, who doesn't? Lawless is the movie for you, then. It opened up on Wednesday. Shia LaBeouf stars with Tom Hardy and Jessica Chastain. Gary Oldman also in this film. By all accounts, it is an excellent reproduction of the Depression era.
especially the bootleggers of that era. This takes place in Franklin County, Virginia, based on a true story about a new deputy and other authorities who want to go after a family of moonshiners and cut their profits. So the moonshiners are doing this to survive. They are fighting back. Here are Shia LaBeouf and Tom Hardy, who play brothers in the film, who, although they're working together, making this bootlegged whiskey, they do not always get along, as you can tell from this scene.
I'm not built like you, and I ain't never been like you.
It's all right. Jack, it is not the violence that sets man apart. All right, it is the distance that he is prepared to go. Jack, look at me. We are survivors. We control the fear. And without the fear, we are all as good as dead.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the fear.
Shia LaBeouf is, of course, this is the film he famously said, I stopped drinking for a while, but I had to start drinking moonshine while I made this so I could get into the part.
I admire that.
So I could look all bloated and drunk and hungover every morning,
right,
the way a moonshine drinker would.
Not that he wanted to.
No, he had to serve the story.
I see.
That's how dedicated he is to us, the audience. And the least you can do is go see him be bloated and drunk on screen, I think. And lastly, a movie we've been talking an awful lot about lately, The Possession. Looks scary as hell. You know, I did a little research about this film and looked into the true story behind it, and it's for real.
It's true. They always say based on a true story, and I go,
The Die Book. I think, is what it's called. It happened well before the Second World War. This family was being haunted, they believed, by this demonic presence in their home, and they had a ceremony where they trapped the Die Book into this box and locked it up.
Okay.
But then the box became like an antique and started moving through antique stores and sales and things. And every family that owned it and opened it up would report these horrible things happening in their home.
Did they know it was a box?
No.
Oh,
but then
I see.
The last owner tracked it back to the original owner. And they said, yeah, you should never open that box. My family did a ceremony in order to capture the spirit inside this box. And that's why it's been closed up. And there was no key for the lock. You're not supposed to open that up. So that person took it, sealed it up in a hidden location someplace.
Right.
And they report they haven't had a bit of trouble in their home since. And no one knows where the real box is now being held.
Okay.
Although apparently Sam Raimi, who produced this film, was offered, the owner of the box, offered him the box. If you want it for your film to do research, I'll give it to you. And Sam Raimi said, nope,
really?
Not interested. Leave it sealed up where it is.
That's awesome.
So that's the premise of The Possession. A family comes across an antique box at a yard sale, and they're unaware that a malicious ancient spirit lives inside. The little girl is possessed by this spirit. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is her dad. Kira Sedgwick is her mom, and they have to find a way to end the curse. Here are some clips from the trailer of The Possession.
I have no idea where I got here.
Hebrew inscriptions. It says Dybbuk.
And where are you?
It's the Hebrew word for demon.
What does this thing want with my daughter?
The spirit is the taker of children.
Yeah.
Mommy, who am I?
Once the box is open, people die.
Love it.
Ah!
Love it.
Love it.
Don't open the box.
I don't want to open the movie. I'm scared just by the trailer. If you're a fan of horror films, this looks really interesting and inventive and scary and well-produced. And Sam Raimi can't go bad if he's involved in the project. That's my pick for this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and this is 641.
You sound well surprised by that information.
No.
Sounds like it's the first time you've ever tried to read a clock. Wait, the big hand. Kevin, I know, as we've said many times in this program before, you hate the politics.
Hey.
I know you do. And I know you just want to close your eyes and have the election be over.
But and here's why.
It's only 5 weeks away. It's only 5 more weeks.
Here's why. Both sides lie. And they lie a lot. And then they accuse each other of lying a lot. And most of the accusations aren't true. And most of the statements they make aren't true.
Correct.
So why do we do it?
Well, that's what politics is all about.
Well, that's why I hate it.
But you still have to make a decision on who you're going to vote for, so you have to wade through that to get the information that you can believe.
I'm voting
so you
for
can
Johnny Knoxville for president.
You're just going to write him in, are
you? I've already got that figured out. Last night was the concluding night of the Republican National Convention, where they officially nominated Mitt Romney as their candidate for the election this year. Tuesday is when the Democratic National Convention begins, and I'm going to go out on a wild limb here and say that I believe Barack Obama's got it in the bag. I'm pretty sure he's going to get the nomination, so we'll see if that comes true. But last night was Mitt Romney's big speech, but all anyone's talking about today is the bizarre appearance by Oscar-winning acting and directing legend Clint Eastwood. There are very few people in Hollywood that I admire as much as I admire Clint Eastwood.
I think that's true. Most people, yeah.
He's an icon, and he deserved it. He was a phenomenally successful actor, an even better director, if you can believe that. And he's just a stand-up guy, and I love everything he does. But Granddad has lost it.
Uh-oh.
He's 82 years old, and he stepped out on stage last night. And it was kind of a big coup to get a major Hollywood celebrity to speak at a convention like this. As he mentioned when he came up to the mic, you don't really necessarily expect very many of these high-profile actors are going to be Republicans.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what's a movie tradesman doing out here? You know, they're all left-wingers out there, left of Lenin. At least that's what people think, but that's not really the case. There's a lot of conservative people, a lot of moderate people, Republicans, Democrats in Hollywood. It's just that conservative people, by the nature of the word itself, play it a little more close to the vest. They don't go around hot-dogging it.
So I thought that was a great...
Hot-dogging everybody.
I thought that was a great start, and I thought, this is going to be really entertaining. I'm excited to see what Mr. Eastwood has to do. But then he started his prop comedy chunk, where he brings out an empty chair, and he starts basically mock debating the President of the United States.
But the chair's empty. He's acting like the President is sitting in it?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And he didn't have a script. He was kind of winging it. He was ad-libbing it, and it got bizarre, and it got weird, and it went on too long, and there was a lot of kind of uncomfortable laughter. And he had a couple of good lines.
What do you want me to tell Romney? I can't tell him to do that. I can't do that to himself. You're absolutely crazy.
He can't do that to himself.
No.
But it just got surreal and bizarre and sad. And at some point, as Ralph mentioned earlier, it seemed like it turned into the Alzheimer's hour. So we wanted to find out really what was going on in Mr. Eastwood's head. And we're very, very, very pleased to have the Oscar actor and directing legend. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Clint Eastwood, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Well, we're good. How do you think it went last night?
I think it went great. Because I got out there and I was able to say words
mm-hmm.
for, you know, to, well, you putting on the people.
See, right, there was a lot of this going on to last
that
night.
Things. And what's that? President Obama here with me. What's that?
What?
The president's with you there now?
I won't shut up because I'm doing the radio.
Oh.
Why don't you shut up, invisible
Clint,
president?
It seemed like just as you would not want your actors to appear in your films without a script, it seemed like maybe you could have rehearsed that a little bit more or maybe had a better idea of what you were going to say rather than just kind of make it up on the spot.
No, I was there speaking for the people.
Yeah.
And I was able to... speak from the heart,
mm-hmm.
and Guantanamo Bay, and,
right?
And there's a lot of unemployment, and
right. You did throw out a lot of tidbits like that, yeah.
President Obama. No, I won't eat waffles without syrup. I love syrup. And
the president is not there with you.
He is. He's right here in the
but
chair.
He's not. It's just a chair, right?
No, he's there. He's talking to me, and
we can't hear any of that.
No, I don't think Formica should be our national bird. No.
See, okay. This is where I think maybe you shouldn't be speaking in public anymore.
Well, listen.
You should get home talking to the TV.
It's overtime in America.
It's overtime now.
Oh, the game's over?
No longer halftime?
No, we're in overtime.
Okay.
Oh, we're in overtime. Okay.
Sudden death overtime.
All right.
And both sides will get the ball.
Right.
Unless, of course, the first side scores a touchdown.
And then the game's over,
but
right?
But if one side scores a field goal, then the other team will get the ball back and have a chance to try to march down the field.
Look,
how does that relate to where we...
And if they get a field goal,
right,
then whoever scores next, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown...
No, we understand.
Then the game's over.
So right.
What's that, Mr. Obama?
Oh, the president's talking again. Okay.
What? No, if you you link a 9-volt battery, it'll shock you.
Yeah. That's not what the president is saying to you.
He's asking about 9-volt batteries.
Just in your head. Look, I thought the Republicans think that all Hollywood celebrities should shut up and just stick to acting and singing and not tell who people who to vote for.
Yes, they do think that. More so this morning than they did yesterday.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Very pleased to have the Oscar actor and directing legend. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
That was a moment with Bean.
He's an Oscar actor.
If you could win an Oscar, then you really
blew your own joke.
I did. Sorry, I did. My bad.
I accept your score. In 6:55, Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour, and Ralph Garman is here right now with the Showbiz Beat.
Good news for Roland and his friends. Just came across this story. Eternal Image, the company that makes the Kiss casket.
Yes.
Once everyone know, they also have the Star Trek casket.
Oh, he's going to be so excited.
It's designed after Spock's torpedo tube casket in Star Trek II when they shoot Spock out of the torpedo tubes onto the planet and he gets reborn.
Right.
You can be buried in a photon torpedo casket.
Are you reborn?
No, I think you still stay dead. Because you're not Vulcan. You don't get that.
All right.
But they've got that, and they've also got Federation emblems, brass plates that you can put in your headstone.
You're a pretty big dork
like,
if you do
you
this.
You can have markers. You can have, like, the brass USS Enterprise. The voyage continues, it writes under it. See? Even as you go on into the afterlife. To boldly go, ... is another thing they offer.
Sure.
Because you're going where lots of other people have gone before.
You're beside a lot of other people that are doing the same thing.
Robin Williams could be headed back to television. How about that? Hasn't been on a TV series since Mork and Mindy.
Huh.
Could be returning.
What's this?
What's the show?
Yeah.
He'd be working with producer David E. Kelly, who has a spotty record, but sometimes comes up with great stuff.
Some great, yeah.
It would be a sitcom where he plays an advertising guy who's working with his daughter in the same firm. I tend to like work-placed sitcoms more than family-based sitcoms.
Yeah.
I think the workplace tends to provide more potential situations for comedy. So I'm encouraged by the fact that it would be set in a workplace versus, oh, his daughter moves back in with him after college.
Unbelievable.
And boy, they mismatched.
Wacky things happen.
When will she read the expiration date on the yogurt? Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those. Anyway, I think Robin Williams could be funny in the right sitcom.
He's another guy who could be great given the
can
project.
Be hit and miss. Yeah.
Ralph, you see his appearance on Louis C.K. this year?
No, I did not.
Oh, it was nice.
Was it funny?
It was really
great. Yeah,
well, it was bittersweet. You know, it was funny
in that show is
that Louis kind of way. But yeah. Robin Williams was very, very good. You forget that he's an Oscar-winning actor, but he can be terrific.
Country star Miranda Lambert is also developing a TV series on NBC, to which, you know, she's from the world of country music, so I scoffed.
Right.
Until I heard what it was about. It's based on her childhood, which, again, I scoffed. And then I heard what her parents did for a living. She grew up, her parents were very successful private investigators. Her mom and dad were a private investigator team.
That's weird.
That is weird. Now, that would be an interesting thing. Family with a
take
kid.
Take you along on a stakeout
PI,
or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's being developed for NBC. And while we're talking about funny people, Jerry Seinfeld has announced for the first time in 14 years, he's going to be doing stand-up in New York City.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of stand-up performances lined up for New York City for the month of October. He said, I feel like New York City taught me how to be funny, so I'm excited to perform a special series of shows for my beloved hometown. So if you are going to be in the Big Apple in October, maybe you can get tickets. I bet that'll be a hot ticket to see Jerry Seinfeld perform live. Chris Lighty, former manager of Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy Combs, also responsible for the careers of LL Cool J and Fitty, was found dead yesterday with a gunshot wound to his head.
Oh, no.
Police are calling it a suicide. Yeah, I bet that's what the police are calling it. He was just 44 years old.
Were there signs of trouble?
I don't know.
Huh.
Is it wrong of me to think anytime the world of rap's involved, there should be some further investigation when a guy gets shot?
I think he was tremendously in debt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was he?
And I think maybe, I don't know the circles
he was
running.
Do you have terminal brain cancer? Do you have terminal brain cancer?
I think you're concerned about how that debt will be collected if you don't pay to the wrong people.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I understand.
Think maybe one of those kind of deals. Like, I'd rather take this way out
you
than their way
out. You can't
kill
me. I'm going to kill myself. I'll teach you.
Right.
Yeah. And we missed out. We missed out not being in Tokyo last weekend.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. In Tokyo, they had the big Erotica Will Save the World event.
All right.
A 24-hour fundraiser as part of a week-long erotica convention. The convention, as the erotica conventions are wont to do, had demonstrations and sells erotic material and pornography and that kind of stuff. We have them here in the States. But this one was special because they had a fundraiser called the Breast Squeezing Fundraiser.
Really?
You got to pick from 10 adult video actresses who were all volunteers. All the proceeds went to AIDS awareness, which is a good cause. You had to be over 18. And you could get up to 2 squeezes of their breasts per hand.
That is such a weird thing.
Now, you did have to sterilize your hands before you groped.
Right.
But you would get 2 squeezes per hand from your choice of 10 adult video actresses. Now, that is a fundraiser.
No kidding.
I'll take Suki and... There you go. I'm on my way. Thank you very much. Here's my $10. God bless Tokyo. So, see, they know what they're doing.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Van Morrison. Van the Man, as he's known. The guy's been around forever. When did he have his first big hits? Being 60s, early 60s?
Yeah. Early
band
mid-60s.
Them, right? Isn't that he sang right. for them? And then
he sure did.
Just had smash hits through the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, decades of a very successful solo career. By all accounts, the biggest dick in the music business.
That's what I've heard. Just a miserable, cranky
just
bastard.
Miserable.
Yep. Just punishes his backup band and the people he travels with.
Hates
just,
his life. Hates everybody.
Horrible,
hates his
drunken,
audience.
Bitter Irishman.
Yep.
Won't I like look him at now the crowd, more than ever.
Won't talk to the crowd. Just hates you for living.
Yep. Richard Gere, 63 years old today. Deborah Gibson turns 42. Chris Tucker. From Rush Hour fame and other projects, is 40 years old, and actress Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy is 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We're listening to the world famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:09.
Writer, director, actor Kevin Smith joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, looking ahead past the Labor Day weekend, a very special show planned for you on Tuesday as we welcome all 4 members of a little band called No Doubt.
Yeah!
Fantastic. No Tuesday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now it's the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, adamcarolla.com. That's where you want to go for all things Ace, including his Guinness Book of World Records most downloaded podcast information. You can get there and download and listen to right on the site. You can get tickets to upcoming shows, including this Thursday night at the Ontario Improv with special guest Dana Gold. You can buy those tickets now through adamcarolla.com and, of course, order the book Not Taco Bell Material. Ace Man, how are you?
Good. Dana Gould, I think, is going to be the
comedian.
Oh, is
it Gould? I'm so sorry.
That's
I'm so
all right.
Sorry. Hey, Adam, I wanted to mention, because I don't think we brought this up on the air, and longtime Kevin and Bean fans still ask us all the time about Mr. Burcham. And Mr. Burcham does still live out there in the Ethernet. And you have been tweeting lately the pilot, I guess, you did for a Mr. Burcham animated show that I guess didn't get picked up, but people can see it online. I want to make sure they know about that. What's the deal?
Yeah, they do at Fox. They do these animatics. They're called, they're like 10-minute shorts instead of doing full-blown pilots. Networks do like 10 or 12 comedy pilots every year. They're like $2.5 million a pilot.
Wow.
And one of them makes it on the air in the last 4 episodes.
Right.
That's why networks aren't going to be around that long. I mean, could you imagine ordering a bunch of crap at $2 million a pop and throwing most of it away?
Yeah.
Insane. So Fox does cheaper versions. We did a real good one for Mr. Burcham. It didn't get on the air, and they just go away. And not only do they just go away, they frown on you sharing them with fans.
Is that right?
I thought, F it. Let people see it. So you can go to YouTube or wherever and just doing Burcham pilot, and you can see it. And it's your only chance, really, to see what these things ever look like, because they never see the light of day.
Huh. Yeah. I thought it was very cool that you offer that. And, of course, I watched it immediately, and it was fun. I mean, it was – I can't imagine that Fox has that many shows better than yours to put on the air. But that's why we're not in television, I guess. We don't understand how things work.
Nope, neither one of us are.
All right. Adam is here once a week on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time to take a look at This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with 3 and working to number 1 – I didn't really know how much slurring of the Dutch we did. The people, the race, the Dutch. I started looking into it.
You mean we mock them more than you thought?
I was appalled.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, there's the delightful Dutch oven, but I don't think that's the tip of the cap to
right.
the Dutch folks.
Nope, not much.
Then there's something I didn't even know about. It's a guy called your Dutch uncle. Evidently, people know me as their Dutch uncle, which is a guy who's sort of a douchebag.
Okay.
Meaning, if you had a friend who's a douchebag, he's your Dutch uncle.
All right.
Then there's your Dutch wife. Your Dutch wife is an inflatable doll. You got a Dutch wife. You got you have a doll that takes breath for life.
Right.
So, and then of course, there's going Dutch, which just means you're super cheap and you can't afford to take a chick on it. And when's it going to end? I'm saying if you applied this to black or Japanese, there'd be trouble, right?
Sure. Yeah. Why do we hate the Netherlands so much? What's going on here?
I don't know. And then who's going to step up in the name of Dutch people? I think I have a name for you. The Dutch Al Sharpton should be Rutger Hauer because he is Dutch, and I don't think people take crap from Rutger Hauer.
That's true.
And he should start enforcing this thing. And, by the way, start doing what, you know, Sharpton and Jesse Jackson does is, you know, when you guys use some slur like Dutch oven, he comes over to the radio station and shakes it down.
Yeah, that's a great idea,
Friends
Adam.
Of boycott.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the help.
We're going to get Pepsi and Coca-Cola to pull out if you guys don't stop using this negative slur.
What a great idea.
Either way, Rutger, I'll blow a call to Rutger. He's okay. Blind, isn't he, or is it just in that one movie?
No, he can see in real life. He's
fine. I'm going to figure this out. Yeah, I might go with Famke Janssen. She is hot.
Yeah, she is pretty hot.
Dutch, too.
Yeah. Hey, she can come down here anytime she wants.
All right, number two. Oh, God. The humanity of flying first class. I was going out to Florida last weekend doing some shows, flew some first class in United, had lunch, and the first class meal selection, you had two choices. You had cold beef salad,
right,
which sounds like something someone would do to you in prison if you're just there overnight.
Right.
You got the cold beef salad, son, and you can never talk about it again. Cold beef salad is not good. Part of what I like about beef is the hot part of beef. But either way, the cold beef salad or pizza, which sounded like a decent alternative to cold beef salad, except for it's goat cheese pizza.
Right.
And here's the thing. It's not would you like pepperoni or sausage and onion or goat cheese. We're going to take this aircraft 6 miles off the ground for 6 hours,
uh-huh,
and we're going to bring one pizza with us. Guess what it's going to have on it? Goat cheese.
So you don't have the option of having them take it off.
If you could only have one, yes, if you threw an office party and somebody said, Kevin, you're in charge of the food. It's got to be pizza, but you can only get one topping.
Right.
Would you get goat cheese?
I would not know. No.
No, and everyone's going to be locked in the same room watching The Lucky One for 5 hours? It's like you're being punished.
Yeah.
Goat cheese when? When, people? I've been saying it about passion fruit iced tea. No one has listened. Now this scourge has swept the nation. I've been saying it about goat cheese. This is how the Nazis took power.
When
are we going to step up?
I don't think this is how the Nazis took power, by the way.
It's exactly how they took. It's exactly.
All right, I have to go back and check out.
Step for step, goose step for goose step. Exactly. This is it. This is our Kristallnacht. Wake up, people. They're taking over.
Goat cheese is the first step down that path.
It's a slippery, cheesy, smelly, covered slope, and we're all sliding right down it. We don't even know we're on it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So, United, if you're going to bring one pizza and one pizza alone, 30,000 feet in the air for 5.5 hours, let's not make it smell like goat, shall we?
Okay. All right. Noted.
Good tip.
All right. And last but not least, when you travel, you're forced to read the USA Today. I don't know how it works. I never see a USA Today. I don't even know where they are. But whenever you travel, I read 9 of them.
Right.
Because they're at the hotel, they're at the airport, they're everywhere, and they're always free, and they're colorful, and they wink at me. And I like the drawings, and I always see on the front cover the snapshot. And I'm, you know, as you guys know, I'm enamored with this snapshot because it tells you stuff you don't normally care about. And there's always the slot where the person doesn't answer. And that's my favorite slot. It's a nice big pie. And this one was Supreme Court and people who could name one person on the Supreme Court.
Right.
And that's 63% of people, Americans, this is delightful and depressing, cannot name one person on the Supreme Court.
Okay.
34% can name at least one. 1% can name them all. And 2%? refuse to answer.
I'm not even going to answer your question.
Not going to dignify that with a... Now, I don't need that little wedge of pie about the douchebags who won't answer.
Right.
I get it every single time, and I got a way for USA to correct this, because the last one I looked at was comfort food, and, you know, 31% meatloaf and 18% lasagna, 9% didn't know.
How can you not know?
That's my point. Who's doing this polling? Should it be like, what's your comfort food? I don't know. All right. When you were like in grade school and you skinned your knee, what did your mom make? I don't know. Did she make lasagna? I guess so. Good enough. I'm putting you down for lasagna. Did not know. So here's the thing. Instead of the did not know or would not answer, whatever, I'm just going to do a dickhead category, and that's what you'll be in. There'll be a slice of that pie. If you'd like to be represented in that slice of pie that says D-head, then that's what you shall be in. But I will not know it is did not know or would not answer.
Okay, all right.
And in this one, they refuse to answer as if they're being waterboarded. They wouldn't give up a Supreme Court judge.
Once again, Adam Carolla makes everything better. Go to adamcarolla.com for all the podcast and live show details, including the Ontario Improv next Thursday, September 6th, with the hilarious Dana Gould. You can buy those tickets for just $25 again through adamcarolla.com. Ace, have a great long weekend, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
So Ambien is one of the most popular sleeping agents that is prescribed in America today. I don't take it very often, but I have taken it a few times before, and I love it. I think Ambien works for me exactly the way it's supposed to work, which is when you're really having trouble getting some sleep, it puts you right to sleep, and you sleep dream-free, and you wake up a solid 8 hours later, and you feel refreshed and wonderful. But I understand not everybody has the same experience.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's body chemistry is different, and some people react so bizarrely with Ambien that you can't even figure out, like, you're doing things that you would never do otherwise.
Yeah. My wife, for instance, right in my own house, she's one of those people, and I guess this is a fairly common side effect. She gets up and eats in the middle of the night. She gets up and cleans out the refrigerator. She has no memory. She'll come downstairs, and there'll be an empty container of Nutella on the counter, and she'll be like, how did that get there? And it's because she got up in the middle of the night and ate the whole thing.
Oh, she knows.
Look, you know what Ambien's like.
Yeah.
You've had your own problems on Ambien,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, if having ice cream on the walls of my room is any indication, yes.
Did that really happen?
Yeah, you remember that story.
Ice cream on the walls
yes,
of your room?
Yes, I had strawberry ice cream, and I was going to take a nap, and I woke up, and there was ice cream everywhere on the walls.
I want to party with you, cowboy.
Seriously.
We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 of the things that you have been surprised to find out that you have done on Ambien.
Some people drive. Some people get in their car in the middle of the night and drive somewhere.
Let me tell you about this. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Marcy writes in, my cousin took Ambien, and in the middle of the night, she drove to Las Vegas.
Wow.
She called us at 6 a.m. freaking out because she woke up in the parking lot of the Paris Hotel, had no memory of getting there.
That would be weird.
That's beyond weird. Like,
right.
How?
That's 6 hours of driving just to get there.
You must be alert enough behind the wheel to be able to follow the rules of the road and to know how you're doing it, but it's got to be completely on autopilot. Like,
that's weird.
Does that even work? Here's a couple that involve people in their house that had interesting things happen. Sandy writes in, I woke up feeling well-rested after taking a dose of Ambien, but then I walked into my living room and stepped into a puddle of a wet, sticky substance.
Oh, no.
Not what you're thinking. Oh. I walked further, went into my kitchen where I found a mixing bowl half full of water and sugar with a box of sugar next to it. The papers that had been on my kitchen table were strewn all about the room. My kitchen curtain was on the ground, and the curtain rod holding it up was missing. When I finally stopped looking around, I also noticed that my knuckles really hurt. It turns out I broke my hand. To this day, I have never found the kitchen curtain rod.
What? How does that disappear?
What's going on in that house? Dear Kevin and Bean, my husband travels for work. I'm left with two small kids for weeks at a time. I often can't sleep for various reasons, and after one really tough week, I asked my doctor for something that would help. Never taking Ambien before and not knowing how I would feel taking it, I waited until the night my husband was coming home to take it. I took it before he arrived home and fell asleep quickly. The next day, after spending the whole day unpacking, playing with the kids, catching up after being apart for 3 weeks, my husband says, I'm sorry I left that mark on you. I said, what mark? He replied, the hickey on your neck. I said, When did you do that? He said, last night. I swear, the look on my face was probably enough to tell him I had no idea that we had had sex the night before. I explained that I had taken Ambien and I couldn't remember any of it. That's when he breaks it to me. He said that during a rather vigorous session, I turned to him and, well, how can I say this? Insisted that I turn over. Not only don't I remember it, but I had to be told how much I enjoyed it.
Oh, my God.
Her first and only time in that position on Ambien has no memory of it, to which I want to know, how often is your husband now insisting that you take Ambien before you go to bed?
Crushing it up and putting it in everything she has.
That happened to her on Ambien, and she had no idea.
Sweet.
This is unbelievable, this stuff. I mean, I guess you find that out one time, and you just don't take it anymore, right? Or you strap yourself to the bed, or you do something to make sure. I can't even imagine. Let's do one before the break. Let's get Kelly on here on line one at 1-800-520-1067. Taking your calls on what happened to you on Ambien. Hi, Kelly. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
What about those crazy stories we were just reading?
Well, I don't have any crazy sex stories, but the only story I have is, so I went online. It was like late at night around Christmas time, and I honestly spent about $850 ordering all of this stuff online. So I wake up the next morning, and my sister was like, oh, my God, what did you do? And I'm like, why? She's like, there's a whole bunch of deliveries here. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I just, you know, that's my crazy Ambien story.
$850 worth of stuff.
Yeah, worth of stuff.
Wow.
It wasn't even fun. I mean, most of it was cool, but most of it was really dumb.
So a lot of it was stuff that you never would have bought had you been awake and not on drugs.
Exactly.
Because if it had worked out that your taste stayed the same and you could have been so excited to have all your Christmas shopping done with barely any effort, right?
I know.
That's unbelievable. Well. Do you still take Ambien, Kelly?
I don't. Not anymore.
She can't afford it.
That's exactly. Right. I can't afford it.
$850 bucks a night. That's too much.
That's true. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. What happened to you? Blanca, you hang on. Randy, you too. We'll get to all your calls coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. I don't think I'll ever grow tired of taking calls from people on Ambien. This is unbelievable, the stuff that's coming in at 1-800-520-1067. I want to thank our Kevin and Bean listener, Tim, in Abilene, Texas, a podcast listener who suggested we do this topic. He recently found himself waking up. In his mind, he was having some sexy time with himself.
Right.
In reality, he was standing in front of his bed peeing on it. That's when he woke up and realized that the Ambien was not a good match for him. So he said, hey, why don't you have your callers weigh in with what happened to them on Ambien? And we're getting some great ones here.
It's weird because there are a lot of different sleeping medications, and Ambien is the only one that seems to sort of have this weird, bizarre effect on people where they don't remember what they did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's go to Christine. Christine is on line three. She joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Christine, thank you for holding on. What happened to you on Ambien?
So me and my roommate, we both worked night shift at a hospital. And one morning, I couldn't get to sleep, and she was like, oh, here, take one of my Ambien. So I took one. The last thing I remember is sitting on the couch watching TV with her, and she says that I started talking about these little people who were in the corner building a fort, and they were going to come attack us. And
awesome.
Like, I was freaking out.
Did she do the right thing and videotape you?
She did not.
Come on.
But she said she had to lock me in my room, and like she helped me to my bed and put me in my bed and said, do not leave your bed, and like had to lock me in the room because she was afraid I was going to leave.
The tiny people are not coming for you. That's crazy.
I love that. A real life Gulliver's Travel. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Blanca. Blanca is on line six here today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Blanca. What happened?
Oops, I'm on the wrong line. I apologize. Hang on.
Line six.
Was putting stuff away, so he was on a 6-foot ladder. And when I came into the room, I found him asleep on the ladder. So I had to go get somebody to help me take him down off the ladder because he was just sleeping on the ladder.
Your husband climbed a ladder and fell asleep up there.
And he was putting stuff on the closet and found him asleep on the ladder.
How crazy is that?
Asleep on a ladder.
Well, and then you have to.
We thought he was going to fall off, so I needed help to get him down.
Of course. So were you able to wake him up and have him come down on his own power?
Nope. We had to get him down. We put him in bed. He had no idea what had happened. The next day he woke up with all his clothes, his shoes, everything. And he was just like, had no idea what had happened.
Sweet.
That's fantastic. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Island Savage writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, which is at Kevin and Bean. I once mistakenly, for my energy pills, I accidentally took Ambien instead before a football game.
Oh, great.
I fell asleep on a guy after I tackled him.
Wow.
And then SoCal88 tweets us, a buddy in college was found pooping in the communal washing machine. When asked why the next day, he had no recollection, but yes, it was Ambien.
That's what I would say, too, by the way.
Let's go to Jamie, line two. Jamie is calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show with her Ambien story. Thanks a lot for weighing in. What's going on?
Hey, everybody.
Hi there.
So my friend gave me an Ambien. I have never taken one before. This is the last time I had taken one. I fell asleep in my parents' living room, and my mom's diabetic, so she keeps chocolate candy jars of, like, Kit Kats and Twix bars all around the house.
Right.
So apparently, in the middle of the night, I had eaten the candy, not remembering this, because when I woke up in the morning, I had candy wrappers in my hand. My shirt was off. I was completely shirtless and topless. And
it doesn't sound, I don't think this is going to sexy ending, Kevin.
It's not going to go anywhere, I promise.
Oh, all right.
So I go ahead and I get up, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird, but maybe I just got up and ate, you know, had the munchies in the middle of the night, whatever. So I go in the bathroom to get ready for work. Shirtless, mind you, I look in the mirror and I have chocolate smeared all over my chest.
Awesome.
All over my stomach. And I have no idea what happened, why I did it, how I did it. But the freaky thing is that my parents were sleeping in the room next to me. And I don't know if any time in the middle of the morning they had walked into the living room and found me topless.
Right.
With chocolate all over my chest. So, needless to say, that was the last time I took Ambien, and I will never take it again.
That's the best ever.
if it was really chocolate, that's the best ever, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Our friend Kevin Smith joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, or so we hope.
When you say coming up, I mean, sometime in the future, right?
In the future, yeah,
He'll get here. He'll get here. He always gets there.
Uh-huh.
I've been known to have to wait a little bit sometimes for,
is that right?
For Kevin in the evening of a performance, but he's always arrived. He's never stood me up completely.
Well, we'd like to see him in here in about 10 minutes, if that's
possible.
I'm
guessing won't happen.
So take as long as you need then for the show biz beat, Ralph.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. All of America last night talking about the appearance of superstar, movie icon, director, producer, actor, Dirty Harry himself, Clint Eastwood, appeared at the Republican National Convention last night and gave a 12-minute speech which can only be called surreal.
God, it was. Were you watching it live, Ralph?
I did not watch it live. No, I caught it.
Because I was, and I felt like I was on Ambien or something. I just couldn't believe it was real. It was so bizarre.
Aren't those conventions choreographed down to the second?
I guess so, but when you have a get like Clint Eastwood, I mean, listen, the Democrats have sort of cornered the market on outspoken celebrities for politics for some time, and I think they were excited to have a name of that caliber come up and tout their candidate for a change.
Right.
From what I'm reading, he went over his allotted time to the tune of double.
Wow.
He asked for the ability to go out there and speak. They said, okay, we'll give you about 6 minutes, and he did about 12.
Which did no service to his candidate because then Mitt Romney's speech was pushed out of primetime and probably got cut off on the networks.
Yeah. Basically, it came down to Clint.
Is he running, Clint?
No, he's not running. Mm. The 82-year-old actor put an empty chair on stage and said, I'm going to have a debate with Obama and ask him some hard questions.
But Obama wasn't there.
He turned out that Obama was a no-show.
Okay.
And he asked him questions.
He was talking to an empty chair.
Like, how do you handle all the promises you made? And there was no answer from the chair.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If the chair had answered, that would have been cool.
I think they would have had the ultimate political moment. But
they could have won America's Got Talent with that act if you get the chair to speak back.
I think the audience was as confused as Clint appeared to be on stage last night. And in retrospect, when I think about it, an old, addled millionaire having a one-sided conversation with an imaginary enemy pretty much encapsulates the GOP on a lot of levels. So maybe that was their message, getting it across. But here's a little taste of how Clint spoke to the crowd last night.
So I've got Mr. Obama sitting here, and I just was going to ask him a couple questions. But, I remember 3.5 years ago when Mr. Obama won the election, And though I wasn't a big supporter, I was watching that night when he was having that thing, and they were talking about hope and change, and they were talking about yes, we can, and it was dark and it was outdoors, and it was nice, and people were lighting candles, and they were saying, I just thought this is great. So, Mr. President, how do you handle promises that you made when you were running for election, and how do you handle it? I mean, what do you say to people? Do you just, I know people.
Wow.
People were wondering. You don't have it. Okay.
That happened.
Wow.
Again, Mr. Eastwood, this is why you give your actors scripts They don't have to make it up.
It was really unconscionable to send him out there without a script, really.
But wasn't that his choice, I would imagine?
As far as I can tell.
Wow.
Some people now, some blogs are saying the teleprompter wasn't working.
Ah.
To which I said it worked for everybody before him, and it seemed to work for everyone after him.
Yeah. That's weird.
But that's what everybody's talking about.
You could see the point he was trying to make, and yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with his intentions.
Half the battle.
It's like me speaking up there.
Actually, I think they would have been better off. And I don't say that very often, but they would have been better off with Kevin speaking off the cuff.
You sort of know where I'm going, but you're afraid I'm never going
to
get there.
It makes me uncomfortable to hear him at 82 out there sort of floundering. I think the message was lost in the spectacle.
Absolutely it was, yeah. It was a sad peek into Kevin's future, too.
How dare you.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's present.
My present?
Yeah. In other news, Russia has announced they're declaring war on the Simpsons.
All right.
Yeah. Russian legislators passed a new law.
How do they do that?
The law for the protection of children from information harmful to their health and development. And so it's going to force TV channels in Russia to edit popular cartoons like The Simpsons and The South Park Show. For instance, they will be editing out all the itchy and scratchy moments of The Simpsons.
What?
Yes. Because it claims the characters are often drinking, fighting, swearing, and talking about sex. So they'll be cut in every episode.
I'm number one.
No, you're
Victory
not.
Victory is mine.
It really isn't.
So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka. In your face.
Oh, are you
Boom. Russian? Who's your daddy?
Homer, you didn't really do so well with the Russians. Likewise, every episode of South Park where Kenny is killed will not be shown.
Wow!
So they got like three episodes of South Park they'll be able to air.
Pretty much.
That's about it. Yeah. Okay. All right, Russia. That's where your problems lie. You're right. It's all about the cartoons.
Thank God that's taken care of.
It's not about the
now you can move on.
The lines of people waiting to get toilet paper. It's about
it's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
It's itchy and scratchy.
That guy's got a point.
That's what's coming down to it. Boy, Ellen DeGeneres is gearing up for the kickoff of her new season of her daytime talk show. Whole lot of music going to be represented on Monday, September the 10th. Pink will be on talking about her new album. The next day, Simon Cowell and Britney Spears will be stopping by talking about X Factor. Then the rest of the week's lineup, Dave Matthews Band and current American Idol champ Philip Phillips will be there.
Is this new for her?
She's never been this music heavy. I don't know why she's decided to go hard with the music, but maybe she's trying to draw new eyes to her show.
She sure likes to dance, though.
She does dance.
That happens.
Here's the lineup for future weeks to come.
Okay.
Early on in the season, Carly Rae Jepsen, of course, will be there, asking people to call her. Maybe. Hey. Green Day, The Killers, and a little band called No Doubt apparently appearing on Ellen DeGeneres. How about that?
Damn.
I don't know about you guys, but I am really excited No Doubt's back.
I am, too.
On many levels.
We have them on Tuesday.
I heard that. I heard we're going to be talking to them. That's very exciting. I think... I love the new music. The first song I really liked, and the new one I like a lot. So it's good times being a No Doubt fan.
Yes, it is.
Jennifer Aniston is protecting her assets.
Okay.
According to In Touch Weekly magazine, she is having her fiancé, Justin Theroux, sign a prenup so that she won't lose any of her $150 million fortune in case things don't work out for the two of them. I am not a big fan of the prenup. However, I think in Jennifer Aniston's case, given her track record with keeping men, it is a wise move on her part to protect her assets because
agreed,
she's not going to be married for long. Oh, how do I know? They might last forever. They won't. But they could. Anything can happen.
That's true.
Could absolutely happen.
I'm out of time already. Lindsay Lohan. In the
if
news
Kevin
really
Smith's
quickly.
Not here, you're not out of time,
That's
Ralph.
That's true. Okay. Lindsay's in the news. Of course, another scandal this week where she was presented with a bill by the Chateau Marmont Hotel on Sunset, where she was a frequent guest.
Seemed like she lived there about half the time.
She's been banned from the hotel due to the fact she has a outstanding $46,000 bill that she hasn't paid, and they say you're not welcome here any longer. Now she is claiming that the producers of Liz and Dick, the Lifetime movie that she was filming, promised to take care of all her accommodations.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, except for the fact that people close to the production say that's another lie.
Oh, they didn't do that?
They say the producers gave her $5,000 against her salary last May to move into the hotel, but that's it. She said she wanted to move in there. They said, fine, we'll take $5,000 out of your salary. You know, we'll recoup from the final paycheck.
So they were never paying for it. They were just using her future money.
They'll say, well, you need a place to stay. You want to stay at the hotel? That's fine. Here's your own money, just in advance, and you can use it for $5,000's worth of your stay there.
And she thought it was unlimited.
Apparently, she has a math problem. Wow. Thinking $5,000 means all money. She's moved to New York, by the way.
Yeah, thank God.
That's the rumor.
That's going to help a lot.
And we were talking about Simon Cowell recently. He's going to be on the Ellen Show. You can say what you want about Simon. Some people call him a dick. I've always liked him. I always thought he was gruff and abrasive on that show, American Idol, when I watched, about his judging techniques.
Right.
But invariably, I agreed with his opinion more often than not. Just the way he presented, I think, was very entertaining. But I also got the sense he had a sort of playful side to him, and he knew it was an act, and he was putting on a good show for people. But I thought, I always got the sense basically he was a pretty good dude.
Okay. I agree. He's the only guy consistently who cares about the entertainment value of that show, and his critiques were fair. I'm 100% with you.
He's also apparently a pretty good dude. Famously, last February, he loaned out his private jet so that a new father could witness the birth of his child. A friend of his was trying to get to the hospital quickly, so Simon lent him his private jet, which
That's
I
nice.
Thought was a nice gesture. But he has stepped up once again. He was relaxing, apparently, in the south of France on his yacht. He's got a yacht in the south of France.
Yep.
Probably multiple. His crew heard over the radio another vessel issuing an emergency mayday message. He immediately ordered his crew to respond. They went to the location and found the sinking boat nearby and made sure everyone got off the boat safe and sound and took him onto his own boat. So he rescued people who were sinking in the south of France.
Oh, Kevin, you got to be so upset.
I'm not
a celebrity
upset.
Saving lives.
He didn't let people die, Kevin. You must be miserable.
He's a celebrity. He's supposed to turn his back on people in need.
You guys try to misquote me every single
you
time.
You hate life. That's all we're saying.
I don't. I love life.
You love people to die.
That's not the case. That's Bean.
I am just assuming south of France, another yacht goes down. You say it sounds like a good guy, but I'm guessing that yacht was filled with scantily clad models or something.
Sure could
That's
be.
That's why he went circled around to pick them up.
Sure
just,
could
just
be.
Guessing. Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Ramirez. She is from Grey's Anatomy. She is 37 years old today. Now, I think she is bellworthy, but I'm getting some heat from other listeners.
Are you?
Saying she's a little too zoftic, perhaps, to get the bell. A little too.
I understand.
Too
Believe me.
Curvy, a little too womanly.
Every time I hit the bell, I'm grateful Psycho Mike is in here to blister me.
Because
he would be furious.
Oh, fat! She's screaming that in the background.
She's very pretty.
She's very pretty, and I like her sort of voluptuousness.
I think we're alone on that.
Yeah.
For the most part in this city.
Getting a little heat.
Yeah.
Chris Tucker from Rush Hour is 40 years old today. Queen Rania of Jordan.
Oh, now that we can all agree on.
She's bell-worthy.
Yes.
She's something.
She's 42 years old. Singer Debbie Gibson. Is 42. Yeah, 42. Only in your dreams. Richard Gere
wow.
is 63 years old.
Come on.
Well, she's trying to shake it up.
File again.
Van Morrison, Van the Man, celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Jay and Silent Bob just stepped into our studio. I don't know if it's my imagination.
It's
but
like the movie's coming to life here at K-Rock.
It's crazy. What can the hell is going on?
Can I just tell you how indignant? Like, Muse wasn't going to come. I needed a ride because I'm a little, you know, wake and bake.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, man, can you bring me to K-Rock? You can jump on as well because we're going to talk about the show
right.
tomorrow night. We're on the way here. There's always a joke about Kevin Smith's lateness. I'm used to it. You know, if you prick me,
it's
do I not
partially earned.
But it is very well earned.
Okay.
This guy went ballistic. This dude suddenly...
He was mad on your behalf?
He was just like, what do they mean we won't make it here in 10 minutes? ran lights. I saw old ladies dodge. It was crazy, man.
And so then wouldn't have had we not said that.
We would. I don't know. We might have made it, but he made sure that we made it because we did triple time. And then we got here, and I was enjoying Showbiz Beat so much because it's like a bizarro Babylon.
Sure.
And without me. So I'm sitting there enjoying it, and he was like, I got to go in and tell him we're here. Like as if there was a gumball rally-esque like race that we had to, or Cannonball Run. Jeez, all those references are old. What, is there a new race movie?
Not really, no.
Fast and the Furious. Fast and the Furious, kid.
That sounds like a deleted scene from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Like Jay behind the wheel, screeching tires, going up on two wheels, trying to get you someplace in time.
Me overreacting in my face.
Well, Jay, we appreciate your punctuality, believe me.
That's
because,
right.
it's one thing when Ralph has to just have another drink waiting for Kevin at night in the club, but when we're on the radio, it's a little harder to fill that.
They got minutes to fill. No dead air. How are you, gentlemen?
Let me get the plug out first, since you mentioned the show. The Jay and Silent Bob Get Old show is you guys together on stage at the Lovitz, and that's going to be tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Tickets are just $20. Always a great time. You can buy those tickets now at thelovitz.com. Any particular theme for tomorrow night? Anything in particular that you know you're going to be talking about, or you're just freewheeling?
It's going to be Jay talking to an empty chair. All night long. What is that, Silent Bob?
I like it.
I can't do that with my finger. What? How bizarre was that? How weird was that, man? It was, but that's like what you, that's one of those things you watch a live event for. Just yes. Hoping something
when
that
you see something that bizarre
wonderful happens, yeah. And you know people are going like he meant this, he meant that. I for a while, about halfway through the speech, I was like, this is an undercover operation. This is a liberal posing as a
trying
Republican
to destroy
from inside. He's literally going like, no lawyers as president. And Mitt Romney's just like, did anyone tell him I'm a lawyer?
He did. Graduated from Harvard Law. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I don't have any numbers on this, but haven't something like 80% of U.S. presidents been attorneys? I mean, it's pretty common path.
How weird was it to listen to Republicans cheer withdraw from Afghanistan?
Yeah. They were like, bring our boys home from the war. Yeah.
Like,
why is somebody fun of that?
Wait, what are we? Oh, my Lord.
No, it was a strange and surreal night, and I'm trying to figure out how it happened. Do you think he ran a script by them, or do you think they were just so awestruck by having a star of his magnitude want to take the stage for their guy that they said, hey, whatever you want to do, just do it in 6 minutes?
I think it's a combo of a couple things. Number one, he's even though he seems to have very liberal leanings, always has.
Socially, absolutely.
But he identifies, I guess, as Republican. So I guess they felt kind of safe. I think they felt it was a buyback from that commercial that ran during the Super Bowl, which everybody assumed was pro-Obama, even though Clint Eastwood was like, it was a Chrysler commercial. Take it as you will. So I think they were like, look, he wasn't talking about Obama, you know. So that was a get for him. I think he had something prepared. I do buy the fact that maybe either the teleprompters went down or maybe he just got up there and couldn't see him.
But he didn't run it by anyone, I doubt.
I mean, I don't know. I bet you he had to.
But
I bet you
he
did.
Look, I'm going to put a chair on stage and riff for a couple of minutes with Invisible Obama.
I guarantee
right,
you.
Go ahead,
I guarantee you. He was like, did you ever see Bob Newhart? I'm a big Bob Newhart fan. Bob Newhart rocks a chair bit that's mind-blowing.
But if you try to pitch that, everyone would say no.
I don't know. I bet you no. I think they were so ecstatic with like, we got him. We got him on our side. It's Clint Eastwood. That was their big mystery.
Stardust gets in your eyes sometimes.
And how often do they have a celebrity go out there? It seems like Democrats have most of their celebrities.
It was a huge get. It was absolutely a huge get, and it was an honor to have him on the stage. Look, John Voight, Oscar-winning actor John Voight, runs around every single convention. No one will put him on stage. He's too crazy for them.
I think there was a thing. Like, if you looked at him up there, maybe there was an element of Reagan-esque, like, hey, here's an older guy, white man, who's been around since the 80s.
But he's talking to a chair.
That, I mean,
you know, like,
to me, as he started, he didn't really set it up. That's why I buy the bit about the teleprompters going down, because there was really no setup. There was no, like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be talking to this chair. This is Mr. Obama's chair. Suddenly, he just rambled into it.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, there was a pre-show jitters shot or
maybe someone slipped him Ambien.
Could be.
That's a great bet.
Nice. He was sleepwalking.
Nicely
that
done.
Would have explained a lot.
But don't you think if the prompters had gone down, the RNC would have stepped forward and said, Oh, well, you know, the prompters went down. But I think in spite of the technical difficulties, Mr. Eastwood did an amazing job, but no one stepped up and said that.
Their spin has been, look, when you're talking about politics through, you know, this is an icon, and
you can't judge him with the same filter.
Not the same prism at all, but meanwhile, they put him up first. And
look, the biggest mistake was it's Mitt Romney's night. That should be the only speech we're talking about right now. That's the mistake, is that they put him on the same night as the candidate. They should have had him on the night before.
And he took up, what, double the time?
12 minutes.
Like, essentially, he was supposed to do 5, winds up doing 12.
I'm voting for Eastwood. Is that cool?
Yeah, man. That's supposed to do.
Kevin's so confused, he thinks Eastwood's running. That's what I'm saying.
I was on the plane, and they had DirecTV, and I looked at the screen, and I was like, oh, my Lord, he's got Eastwood run. I thought it was another guy. It was Ryan. But, I wouldn't call it disastrous. I'd call it wonderful TV. I think it's a big win for the Democrats.
I don't think they had anything to do with it, though. I don't think they looked
They didn't, but I think they benefit from it. I don't think
you
there's
think
so? Anybody.
And you get the benefit of going second in this situation.
Oh, they get to tag up on this forever, man. Right. They could probably have Oprah come out and talk to an empty chair. Somebody suggested bring an empty suit and let somebody talk to that. Like, now they get the comeback, man. Right. Like, the bad, lame setup is going to just deliver 1,000 sharp knives.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And their convention starts on Tuesday. Listen, we got to take a break. Kevin Smith is here along with Jason Mewes. Of course, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old is at the Lovitz tomorrow night. What? That was close.
Jason Mewes. That was like a real, like, Total Recall moment.
Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock right. on stage at the Lovitz. Tickets just $20. We'll be right back with more on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. I only want to hear Jay sing that song from now on. Now that I've heard his version of the Gautier, that's fantastic, dude.
He hit a higher note than I imagined he ever could without help from a digital assistant.
Spice scripts.
Jay and Silent Bob in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, they're going to be appearing at the Lovitz tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Tickets available through thelovitz.com, just $20. You guys also have a deal going on with Amoeba right now, which I think sounds pretty cool. You guys are doing a Q&A at the LA Film School, and you can go free if you pick up the new Jay and Silent Bob Get Old special that was filmed in the UK, right? So you buy it at Amoeba, then you get a free ticket for the Q&A, and that's coming up next week, too. So that's a pretty good deal.
Man, I'm going to hire Bean. Yeah, you're so silky smooth.
He's a radio professional.
You are a pro, dude. Every time I think, like, I want to put my foot in radio, that's smooth. I would have been so ham-fisted, like, sell and whore it, Jay.
Kevin, let me tell you something about Bean. When I first started working with him, his ultimate goal, and this is an odd goal, is to be a guy who just reads commercials on the air.
Yeah,
like that's what he wanted.
Yeah, you can hear it, but then he was like, "Well, I guess I'll keep talking if they want me to." Man, you're the king of the cell. Much appreciated, sir.
Well, you're very kind. Listen,
can I give a shout out to my old lady?
No,
I just got home after a week on the road, man, and I just filled her full of love last night. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, come on,
man.
Why would you say that?
Oh, it was bliss because I want to reassure the kids out there. You know, the kids are always like, "I don't want to get married. I want to have as much sex as possible with many different people." You find one person, man. I've been with this chick, 14 years going
right.
on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, man. She walks around the house, takes her bra off under her shirt. I still get a little turgid, if you will. Mm-hmm. I came home from a week on the road, and it was like being with a high school girl in high school.
Oh,
I had
nice.
To be very careful about that. Yeah. It's that kind of fervency, man. You can be married to one person and kind of stay fidelious and still have it be hot.
And like, I would like to say that keeping it to yourself takes nothing away from any of that either. You know?
It should be a compulsion
out,
on
dude.
Your part to have to announce it and publicize it and send out press releases and skywriting stuff. I'm just saying it takes nothing away from your experience or your love if you just keep that inside.
This is the problem that you don't understand. See, I always know you're where the puck is. I'm where the puck's going to be.
I see.
And where the puck's going to be is if I say this on the air, I get home, she was just like, "Oh my God, you said my name on K-Rock," because now our kid is hip enough to be like K-Rock. She wanted to leave school this morning and come to the radio station. I said, "Where I'm going, it's not hip. They're old men. Don't worry about it." So
how dare
losers,
you, sir?
So there's currency now with K-Rock. So for me to say like her on the air and whatnot, I'm going to get home. I'm going to get twice as good.
Is it possible that didn't even happen yesterday and you're just trying to work your way
into
it?
Yeah, she's like, "Did you lie about having sex with me on the air?
Yes,
who
I
are you,
did.
Farmer Ted? bed from 16 candles?
But isn't what's really happening here is that you were the fat guy in high school who was so happy if you ever got laid.
I'm the fat guy in after high school, college,
I mean,
in junior college,
film school, I was the fat guy there. In high school.
I'm the fat guy in this room.
Who had to high-five his friends if he ever even got a kiss because it was so rare and so magical. And I feel like you still think that's you. You're still surprised every time someone agrees to have sex with you. And you got to get over that at some point.
It's the same person over and over who agrees. But
she keeps making that bad decision.
She does. She flips a coin. She makes a bet, dude. She's like, this is where the puck is.
She's a sexual two-face.
She is, man.
And so far. The unscarred side keeps coming up on that
she
coin.
She makes her own luck.
That's right.
You can't still be surprised that she's your wife and you guys are happy, can't you?
Honestly, dude, come on, man. Every movie you watch, every TV show, all the maybe you think of your parents, all the input you've ever had growing up, particularly as a teenager, about getting married was like it's the death of everything.
Right.
Like you got to have all your fun, sow your oats and stuff. And I say BS. Like this chick, I have more fun with her than I ever had with chicks before her who were supposedly more wild than
name some of them, the ones that you had before her.
Well, it's not Norma, all right? There's one.
It's not that your married life is so good. It's that your single life was so bad,
Kevin. I think so. Maybe by comparison. It looks really...
While we hit the dump button, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old is the show at the Lovitz tomorrow night at 10. See, you're not on a podcast right now, Smith. So
HJ is a bad word.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
You are kidding.
No, listen.
It's the world we live in, son. Ooh, that's a different set of skills I'm working here. Sorry.
Tickets are available for just $20. Listen, we didn't have a chance to talk about it here, but stick around for one more because we want to hear about your triumphant tour of Canada. I understand that you guys went to Ottawa and it was huge fun.
The Garmy invaded on the capital of Canada, Ontario, Ottawa, Ontario. And
Ralph told us that you have tons of fans for your podcast out there, and he met quite a few people who enjoy the Kevin. Well, they don't enjoy the Kevin Bean Show. They listen to the Kevin Bean Show from Ottawa as well on podcast, which is a shock to me as well. So
right from there, you guys travel. Man,
we want to hear all about that. Kevin and Jay are here. We'll return right after this on the world famous
K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:43.
Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, another quick reminder, No Doubt joins us Tuesday morning here on K-Rock. First time we've had all four of those guys in the studio for a number of years, so very excited about that. You were starting to tell us, Kevin, about the triumphant tour you made in the eastern United States and up into Canada. Where you been? You've been everywhere, right?
I went away for a couple of days. I went to the Star Wars Celebration 6 in Orlando, which was awesome, and did a Q&A there. Then I flew up to Toronto, met Mr. Mewes, and we did Jay and Silent Bob Get Old at a big comic book show there called Fan Expo Canada. Then I flew over to Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada.
Right.
And that's where the seat of their government is.
Yeah.
Where I met Mr. Ralph Garman for the first of our international Hollywood Babylon shows. Yeah. It was the two-year...
That sounds good, international.
Isn't it great? Yeah. Babylon International sounds like a pancake house. it was our two-year anniversary of the show, and we did it up there. It was like a 1,000-seater, man, sold out. They were lovely, beautiful audience. Never mind lovely. The dude was welcomed like Christ into Jerusalem.
Who was Ralph?
Ralph.
It was a little weird.
Ralph's the king of Canada?
Ralph, literally, the Garmy invaded Ontario, and Ralph, they elected him. They declared him the king of Canada.
First time in my life, I stepped outside my hotel, and there were people out there waiting for me.
What?
With pictures and pens looking for autographs. No.
Remember how everyone used to be like, Jerry Lewis is a huge star in France.
Yeah.
Ralph is a huge star in Ottawa.
Wow, who knew?
Weird. They treat me like somebody. I was like, I like this country.
Dude, we could go to I'm telling you, when we were on tour, remember me and Muse, we were on a Get Old tour over in Australia and in the UK last year. And each time at the end of the show, man, I was like, I'll be back with Ralph Garman, Hollywood Babylon. And the whole crowd would go nuts. So I guarantee you, you could go to England and to Australia and be welcomed like a hero as well. It's just
why
here
do they hate
Los
him so much in America?
Well, yeah. Nobody cares about him. They hate me. But it was cool, man. It was a great show. You can listen to it. It's over at smodcast.com. Ralph was absolutely on fire. The audience was incredible.
It was a great audience.
And then we parted ways. And then I went down to Jersey and shot some more comic book men.
Which, if you're not watching on AMC, is just one of my favorite shows. Not just because Smith is on it, but I am a comic book geek. And if you like comic books, this thing, it's just heaven. It's like Pawn Stars, that show on history.
Right.
But for geeks. It's like they bring in the best stuff and you hear the greatest stories. And the guys who work there at the Stash are just such funny, funny, great guys.
My friends are very, very funny.
Good TV show.
I pop in and we do like a podcast in between that kind of keeps it all the show together. But it's basically about... those dudes in the store.
Do you do a podcast every single day of your life?
I do, man. Probably in some cases more. I start getting crap when I don't do a podcast daily. Like
you take like one day off and you hear it.
Literally. Last week, since we were doing so much travel and shooting and stuff, I couldn't get to my favorite podcast of the moment is Fat Man on Batman.
Right.
The one that I do every week just about Batman.
Right.
And I couldn't get to it last week because I never guessed. And also, I was on the road. And the amount of tweets where people are like, you've given up on the Batman. You're letting Batman down.
Batman never quits.
Yes. I was like,
except
yeah,
in the Dark Knight Rises.
Exactly. For 8 years. I saw that picture. But it was, I pretty much podcast every day.
How about that?
But so you.
The longer we know you, though, Kevin, the funnier it is to me that you were able to ever play Silent Bob.
Isn't that weird? I deserve an Oscar in retrospect.
You do.
For keeping your mouth
so hard for you.
For shutting up. And what? For playing straight?
Restraint.
For your restraint.
How dare you?
I mean, some of those scenes where you're Silent Bob are like 2-3 complete minutes where you don't talk at all.
Totally. And I just nod. And you see my bulging eyes. That's because the words are trying to get out of my mouth.
Right.
Dying to get out.
In all fairness, though, he couldn't stay silent forever. Silent Bob ended up talking.
Yeah. By the end of the movie. But he was the lesson is very obvious. A lot of exposition.
He writes up a big juicy monologue.
I know that you have very publicly talked about how you have one film left in you, and then you're done. You've done it all. You've fulfilled every dream. You love.
And then I shall expire.
I shall die.
You love Jay and Silent Bob so much. It's been such an important part of both of your guys' life. Mm. Isn't there a tiny part of you that goes, it might be fun to revisit those guys and maybe make a Jay and Silent Bob Get Old movie?
We just put out that DVD, which is like the live shows of Jay and Silent Bob Get Old that we perform under. But next year, we bring out the cartoon movie, Jay and Silent Bob Super Groovy cartoon movie.
Sweet.
Ralph's a voice in it
no
as well.
Kidding.
Yeah, Jay's a voice. Silent Bob, not really a voice, so yeah, sure. I don't get a voice. Uh-huh. But it's a cartoon feature that we're going to take to, we think we're going to start, hopefully, at South by Southwest, and then tour it like we did with Red State. So
in about 20 years, you should do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old for real, like in a rest home, whatever, wherever you guys are.
Only if I can talk. I don't want to not talk anymore.
Yeah, well, there's that.
I can't act. I'm not that good an actor anymore.
All right, let me wrap up this segment with the details on where everybody's going to be. Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, that's going to be at the Lovitz tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. Tickets available through thelovitz.com. You should definitely see that. Don't forget, Kevin Smith also has the Hulu show Spoilers, which I love, by the way.
Thank you.
Fantastic. You get great guests on that show as well. And starting today at Amoeba Records in Hollywood, the best record store in America, you can pick up the DVD of Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, Teabagging in the UK. You buy that and you automatically get a free ticket to attend the Q&A event on September 6th. Across the street at the Los Angeles Film School. And by the way, you also get a pre-signed cover from Kevin and Jason as well on that copy of the DVD if you pick that up. How about that?
Too much going on.
It's an amazing list of things. But we should point out that, unfortunately, one of the things not going on this weekend is Babylon.
Yeah, no Babylon this week.
Ralph took off. Can you imagine? Just like Batman, he quit for, instead of 8 years, 8 days.
Yeah,
just
took a day off.
Taking a day to himself. And I thought about going up to do Babylon by myself with the empty chair and be like, what's that, Ralph? What is that?
Liam Neeson's
what now, Ralph?
I can't do that to myself.
I was like, what, Ralph? Do your impression of Al Pacino. And then silence. And then, oh, Ralph, Al Pacino couldn't do that. It seems to work. It played for Republicans.
For certain crowds.
They thought it was hysterical, man. They're like, he's talking to an empty chair.
But they would have loved anything in that group, right? I mean, in that group, they would have loved anything.
They did. They applauded all kinds of things you didn't think they would applaud.
Yeah. The things they applaud the most, based on what I watched, because I watched, his thing, and then I watched Marco Rubio, and then I saw the Mitt Romney. They applaud making money.
Mm-hmm.
They use the word rich a lot. They applaud God and the Bible.
Right. Yep.
And they applaud Clint Eastwood like crazy. And they love it when he says, make my day. That was the thing that blew my mind.
They practically forced him to say that.
He did. He almost seemed like he was like, look, I retired that. And then they were like, come on. He was like, all right.
One more time.
I'll start you finish. It was nuts, man. Go do yourself a favor if you haven't watched it. Go pick up that clip right now.
A rich white guy with liberal use of firearms and bullets. What's not the love of Clint Eastwood?
It's true.
At the RNC.
Are we saying goodbye to them now? Or are they sticking around?
Stick around for showbiz. Look, there's no Babylon this week, so we might as well squeeze in a little mini babble.
Fantastic.
Here on the radio.
We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Find an agent near your allstate.com. Are you in good hands? I'm down at Dower, K-Rock traffic.
All right, thank you, Donna. It is 8:55.
Child.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Oh, you're an embarrassment.
How dare you?
Leanne Rimes is going into rehab, but it's
The equipment's working again.
Yeah, how about that? It's weird. Got right back to the same.
It's a new studio. Sometimes stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yep.
Mm. You're remarkable. Leanne Rimes is checking into rehab.
What, Ralph? Her people.
Say it's not for drugs, it's not for alcohol. She's checking in to a 30-day treatment, inpatient treatment center for anxiety and stress.
Does that exist?
Oh, yes.
I heard she's looking to, honestly, I read an article where they said, it kind of made me go, it made me pause. They said she's looking to develop a skill set to deal with stress management.
Yes, and you know why? You know what the indicator was that she was out of control?
Tell.
Too much booze? She had a violent, aggressive, profanity-laden battle with a heckler on Twitter.
Really?
Well, if that's an indicator, I'm going next.
She'd be there right now.
What? Wait a second. Didn't she? And there's a phone call involved as well. A recording of her voice is what drove her, I believe, into this. What is it called? Not a rehab.
It's a treatment facility.
Treatment
30-day treatment facility for anxiety and stress, giving her the coping mechanism she needs to become a more emotionally stable woman.
Coping mechanism. There was a recording of her barking at of somebody that has gotten loose online, and she's trying to prevent it, as most people, I'm sure, know. Could you imagine, man? Like, caught in the act of just being yourself and who you are.
No. I make a daily statement I wouldn't want anyone to hear outside of my close circle.
Like? You're like, you know who's responsible for all this?
Like my Mel Gibson rant.
Let me ask you this, Mr. President.
Now, I'm shocked that she has emotional issues, that she hasn't found peace, because she is a member of the Life Change Community Church, which, as you know, is the church that Kardashians attend on a Sunday basis.
Really? Where do they go?
They go to the Sheraton in Agoura Hills. They go to the ballroom there. And that's
one of those hotel churches?
That's where they go.
Sounds solid.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
Yeah. Muse is the newest member of the Life Change Community
please
Church.
Do go.
When you go to a Catholic church, you eat the body of Christ. When you go there, whose body?
Kim's, I think.
Ooh. Yeah,
right. Life Change Community Church, of course, founded by Kris Jenner. Kris is the momager of the Kardashians.
Momager. So. Wait a second. They own a church?
They have their own church now, yes.
Can you own a church?
Apparently, you can. She founded the church.
That's genius.
Along with this pastor that she
knew. It's just a tax exempt thing, or there's an actual?
Who knows? Maybe they're doing it to actually help people's spirituality.
Is there? Well, all right. Well, if you are a church, you have to have services. They actually have services.
Yeah.
Does she lead the service?
No, she's got a pastor who preaches every Sunday.
It could be on the up and up.
Maybe he got ordained online. Is it the same thing?
He was an actual pastor from another church, but he lost that job because he had allegedly had affairs with about 14 parishioners who came to him for counseling.
That's alleged.
And he counseled them with his unit.
Nice.
And he got fired.
I got your counseling right here.
Kris Jenner, when she decided to found her church, went to him at his current job, which was as a barista at a Starbucks.
And said, Reverend?
Let's start a church.
Let me get a shot and let's make a church. Let's have a church. Let's start a church.
I would like a mochaccino.
Yes.
And I would like you to be my pastor.
I would like a mochaccino and the doorway to eternity, please. Tell me about the Lord.
Now they're in business.
So you can literally just be like, I could be like, all right, I bought a church or I own a church. I have I pay a reverend to come, and that's legit? I guess there's no law against owning a church.
I don't know the details.
We're not the experts in starting
churches.
You
can't profit, though. That's the only thing.
I think
in order to
true.
Be tax exempt, they wouldn't be allowed to profit, and any profits would go to the poor or go to the management of
the
church.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord,
yes.
Ralph.
As the founder of a church, you have to pull a salary, I'm assuming, because you're responsible for so much.
I feel like the Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote. It's taking me a few minutes, but we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Leanne Rimes struggling with her spirituality, but she's going into a program.
She needs coping mechanisms.
She does need coping mechanisms, don't we all?
Yeah.
Mine is called Jack Daniels.
Mine's called weed.
That's right.
Leanne, look it up. It's cheaper than rehab.
Poor Muse had to give up all his coping mechanisms. All he's got is real life.
Now I got the church.
That's right.
That's right. At the
charity. Sunday's got the church.
You've got the Our Lady of the Tax Dodge to bring you through. So you've got that going for you. And Robin Williams is coming back to television. Hasn't been on a regular TV series since Mork and Mindy.
Oh.
Now, those of you in the audience may not remember what a sensation Mork and Mindy was, but for a white hot minute there, it was all of it.
It was Robin Williams wearing suspenders.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have rainbow suspenders.
Doing that. Oh. And in 1980, we'd never seen anything like that before.
It's too wacky. Oh.
But he is. I mean, you can't take it away from him. He's very talented, very funny. And he was funny on that show. Even if you look at old episodes of Mork and Mindy now, a little corny, a little dated, but he's swinging for the fences every time out. You see the protoplasm of what becomes, you know, Patch Adams.
Yeah. Jonathan Winters playing his son.
Yes. Yeah, at the tail end, man.
He's working with producer David E. Kelly, who has an established television track record with Law & Order and Boston Legal. And
Picket Fences.
Picket Fences, Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
They're developing a sitcom where Robin will play a guy, an advertising executive who has to work in the same firm as his daughter, and wackiness ensues. So right now it looks like the series will be on CBS.
I'd watch that.
I would too. I'd give it a shot.
Why is it so wacky? Because his daughter's there. He's like, hey, you're my daughter.
Yeah, you've literally just shown us a trailer for the show, man, a preview.
Oh, look at you. You're my daughter. And we're working together. Oh, I have an office. You have an office. I can't believe it.
Give me my stapler back.
Loud laugh track.
Episode one. I liked his new Robin Williams character. Hey, you're my daughter. Oh. Didn't say a thing like him.
Today's celebrity birthday is Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy. She's 37 years old today.
37?
Yeah. Chris Tucker, 40 years old.
Can you hear the words that are coming out of my
mouth? Hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's good.
Thank you. Queen Rania of Jordan is 42 years old today. Debbie Gibson celebrates her 42nd birthday. Nobody's got any titles, so I was surprised.
Nope.
I believe that, though. I'm 42. I actually would have thought she was a little younger than me, because I remember when I Think We're Alone that came out.
That was
Tiffany. She seemed like a kid.
That was Tiffany. Yeah.
My bad.
Yep.
No wonder she seemed like a kid. It was a completely different person.
Debbie Gibson was 17 when she hit big, though, with her first album. So, yeah, she started young.
What's a song from her?
Only in my dreams, as real as it may seem.
That's it.
It was only in
Shake
my
your love.
And it's
that one I recognize.
Or foolish beat. Yeah. Just a foolish beat of my heart. I won't remember.
I do.
I would not have expected this to happen today.
And then there was this. I don't think this is her work.
Oh, yes.
It's her second album, experimental work.
Yeah,
that's what she was remember.
That was her Extina period.
Richard Gere is 63. That's a good looking 63-year-old man right there, Richard Gere.
He holds up well, man.
Yeah. Gerbils keep you young.
I just rewatched. Whoa. I just rewatched Pretty Woman, and he looked old in Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
I'm disagreeing with your statement about
him. Oh, really? Oh, you think he looks bad?
No, I don't think he looks bad, but he looks old in Pretty Woman, and that was, what, 25 years ago?
Yeah, 25.
So, I'm
saying. But I saw him in Chicago, and he looked young and vibrant in Chicago.
Makeup, but he's amazing in Chicago.
Yeah, he is great. Van Morrison, Van the Man, is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is very exciting for me. Rarely do I get a chance to fall in love live on the radio, but I have a feeling Bridget is my soulmate. I have a feeling she's the woman I've been looking for.
Bridget is somebody who we played highlights from her YouTube video yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. And she's talking about the alien abductions and how there are hybrid children that she knows she has, which are half human, half alien.
I know that there's parts of my childhood I don't remember. I know that I would always feel pregnant for about a month and, you know, my cycle would skip and then all of a sudden it would return, you know, because they actually implant you with babies and then you have them and they grow either in your stomach or in the test tubes on the ships. And I know for a fact that I have hybrid children in another dimension. So, wish me luck.
Good luck.
So, Wednesday, we play that as part of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, I believe, right? And
yes.
Then yesterday, we get an email from Bridget herself who says, hey, I heard you guys were talking about me. I'll come on. And we were so happy to see that note. Hey, Bridget, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Thanks so much, guys.
Please tell me you're serious.
I'm serious.
Okay, are you local? Are you in Southern California? Did you hear about this from another state?
No, I'm in Santa Monica. I'm local.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, as Kevin pointed out, and I don't know if you heard this on the radio or not, of the people that we have seen interviewed after being abducted by aliens, you are the hottest one ever. Like, the aliens never take girls that look like you for some reason.
I so appreciate that. I think that they do. They probably just don't want to admit it.
Now, when do you think that all of this happened? Was it just a one-time deal, or have you been abducted multiple times, Bridget?
Multiple times. It's like a consistent thing that they keep doing.
Starting at what age and when was the most recent time?
I think they started probably around age 3, and then it gets a little dicey, you know, towards the teenage years.
Right.
Because the program was finishing up. So I'm not quite sure when the last one was.
The program was finishing up. What program? The alien program?
Yeah, the abduction program.
Okay. Now, you were having hybrid children when you were what age?
I think starting around age 9.
9?
But I may say that, I mean, I'm one of millions, so I'm the rare opportunity to be able to speak about it, which is exciting.
Well, it certainly is exciting. But here, I have so many questions about this, and again, I hope that this is real. When you are abducted, are you taken into a spacecraft that hovers above the Earth?
Yes.
Okay. How long are you gone, usually?
Many reports, because there's thousands of people that have been researched on this, and many reports say that you can be taken because it's a different time dimension for, you know, a month to 3 months. But in our time, it's only like 30 minutes or 15 minutes. So.
Oh, I see.
No kidding. So there was never a time, even when you were 3, where your parents freaked out because you were missing for 15 minutes.
My parents were with me.
Your parents were with you. Okay, so they took your whole family.
Yeah, they did. Usually they take whole families at a time and up and generations as well. So they find like a genetic stock and then just kind of go for it.
Wow. Okay. So the family's up there, and is the purpose for them taking you to create more hybrid children? And if so, where are all those children being kept, and what do you think they're going to do with them?
Yes. The purpose is to create hybrid races that are a mix of us and them, and they're in another dimension. They're on spaceships. They're actually around Earth, like hovering above like Sedona and Phoenix, like the Phoenix Lightship. That thousands of people saw. I mean, the hybrid kids are on that ship.
The hybrid kids are there. Okay, and then what are they going to do with them? They're going to put them on Earth?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to join us. But a lot of people won't eventually, like, see that because we have to be open enough. And, well, I saw Bean up there with me. I saw you up there last night plastering KROQ bumper stickers on the ship. So
you saw Bean up there last night.
Yeah.
Now you're losing me. I wanted to believe. Now it just sounds wacky. Look, you're obviously, Bridget, you're able to communicate with the aliens, right?
Yeah.
So that's surprising to me. How do you do it? Do they speak English or is it just telepathic?
It's telepathic. Well, I mean, this lab of your fire, I mean, I do other healing work and do mediumship, so I speak with, you know, spirits and other dimensional beings all the time, and so it's not that big of a deal for me. It's just kind of another frequency that I'm picking up on and speaking with.
Are you an actress that's trying to put together a reel of highlights?
No, but that would be a good idea.
Why do you sound so comfortable with this concept? Honestly, if I were being pulled away from my home and essentially being, a child was being planted in me or my eggs were being extracted or however it works without my permission, I think I'd be real upset right now.
Totally. I mean, many people have those experiences and are very, very scared when they experience it. And it's, you know, the most terrifying thing ever. That's why people are scared to talk about it.
Right.
For me in particular, I mean, I've had to come to terms with it for over a year now and understand, like, why. Like, what's behind it instead of just looking at the fear aspect of it.
Now, if they started taking you when you were, did you say 3?
Yeah.
How come you just found out about it a year ago?
Because I wasn't ready. I mean, that's the thing is they do amazing jobs of, you know, putting us under amnesia so that we forget, obviously, so we don't freak out. And so it's just not, the timing's right. And I think that other people, I mean, I've gotten over 30 emails in the past few days, people sharing their abduction stories, being like, you said it, now I'm free to say it too. So they're waiting to see if I get scorned.
That's fantastic. So I'm sorry if we covered this earlier, but Bridget is on the phone with us. We have her YouTube video posted at kevinandbean.com if you want to see it. And by the way, again, the hottest alien abduction video you've ever seen. what is the time frame that you expect? I mean, when will these children, these hybrid children, be introduced? And what's the ultimate goal when they invade us with our own hybrid children?
Well, I mean, it really depends on us. The government has to disclose. You know, they've known since Roswell. So it's up to us to be open and say, hey, government, we want to know, and so that it's all out in the open and everyone's free to kind of visit these experiences and admit that they're true, and also raising our consciousness with the 2012 situation so that they can come energetically.
But, Bridget, when they send down the hybrid children, what are they going to do? Are they just going to live and work among us, or are they coming to enslave the regular humans, or what do you think?
They're coming to enslave us with, like, love and light. I mean, they're going to really, really help us out. So, yeah, they'll be integrated into our society, and fantastic. They're going to be, like, a pleasure to have around.
This is nothing but good news,
wow,
Kevin.
Wow, who knew? This is great.
There's no destruction, as, you know, all of the movies display. This is the other version that people don't talk about. So this is exciting.
I love this so much, and I love you so much.
I love you. Thanks, guys.
See? There's a lot of love.
There's a lot of love, and there's a lot of aliens. All right. We have to go. We're almost out of time here, Bridget. Will you be putting up any more videos where you are describing any more of the things that have happened to you?
Absolutely. I'll keep doing videos and keep explaining more about it. You can go to my website, BridgetNelson.com, and check out my other links on the YouTube video and explore more for yourself.
I think we should have Bridget in, B. We should have her in, and then we should have callers call up and ask her questions.
Let's do it. That'd be very cool.
Let's do it. That would be very cool.
There you go.
Yes. Yes, Bridget.
Yeah. There you go.
Consider it a date. All right. Well, you have yourself a wonderful weekend. Thanks, love, for joining us. We'll talk again
soon. Thanks, guys.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye now. You think? What do you think, B?
Yes is what I think.
No, but I'm saying for reals.
For reals. I love her, and I want it to be true.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
A lot of people are disputing on the email this morning whether Jason Mewes was actually really here today, Ralph.
He was.
A quiet guy. He doesn't speak a lot, but we promise he was in here.
He is, and it's only when Smith's around, because Smith is a dominant personality and will talk.
Mm-hmm.
Jay is hilariously funny, but needs to be sort of brought out more. So don't let that discourage you from going to see Jay and Silent Bob Get Old this weekend, tomorrow night at the Lovitz at 10 p.m.
He's a really funny guy.
He's very funny, and it's a very funny show. If you like Babylon at all, if you've seen Babylon, you would definitely like to go check out Jay and Kevin do their show. It's very different than Babylon, but it's really fascinating. And Jay talks a lot about his own life experiences, and nobody has lived the life this guy has. Let me tell you something. Between his heroin addiction and his crazy sex life and things, I mean, he's a very happily married man now, but he lived quite the life back in the day. And they talk about a lot of different things, and it's a fascinating show, and I think we'll have a good time.
It sounds like a lot of fun. And by the way, let me also mention, while we're pimping out the boys, Kevin Smith makes an appearance on film as an actor this weekend. What's this all about, Ralph?
He's in that For a Good Time Call movie, the movie about girls who start the phone sex line.
Oh, fantastic.
He portrays a customer of theirs.
Of course he does.
In that film. So, yes, Kevin was too shy to mention it himself, but he's in that movie. You can check it out this
week. Bet he's done a lot of research. He's been his whole life preparing for that role.
How dare you, sir. All right, let's talk about showbiz news real quickly. I know some people are accusing me of being obsessed about this Kris Jenner story, but I can't get enough of
it. I like it.
Kris Jenner founded a church that the Kardashians apparently donated an enormous amount of money to. We were wondering last time we did showbiz about the technicalities of that, the dynamics of that. And I'm so glad we have an informed listenership, because listener Dan sent me this email. Ralph, I'm a CPA with a firm that specializes in auditing churches and nonprofits. When I heard about the Kris Jenner Church, I realized it seemed like the next logical step for the family. When nonprofits are created, they have to file something similar to a tax return on an annual basis. It shows how much the executives are paid and how they use their money. However, a church is exempt from this requirement.
Really?
So, like, Kevin, for example, your charity, your nonprofit.
Yeah, we have to disclose everything.
You have to file your paperwork and disclose how the money is distributed.
Right.
A church, however, does not have to file out that same paperwork. Dan goes on to say, essentially, there is nothing they have to report to what happens with their money unless they had a loan from a bank requiring it. So since they started the church with their own money, there's no requirement there to explain to anyone how the money is spent.
So this would apply to all churches. Like, the Catholic Church doesn't have to disclose how much money they get in the collection plate every Sunday or what they do with it.
Right.
Amazing.
Since it's a nonprofit, there are no owners of the church. It is instead run by a board of directors, which I'm sure just happens to be a board of one, Kris Jenner. It's also possible that even though she doesn't do anything for the church, she could have a paid position with no way to limit her salary because they don't have any reporting requirements.
Her salary could be all.
It could be. Because no one,
how about
they don't
that?
Have to report it to anyone how they spend that money.
How about
Thank
that?
You, listener Dan, for clearing that up from us. So that's from a CPA who tells us how it works.
I am fascinated more and more by this
Me too.
Potential shady deal that they got going on. Partially fascinated, partially envious, really.
It's pretty smart. It is. They can get away with
it. Evil genius is what it is.
It's not too late for you to do the same thing, Ralph.
I heard you guys talking about Clint Eastwood's speech at the RNC.
He was talking to a chair.
He was talking to a chair.
That happened.
And as you can imagine, a lot of celebrities took to Twitter last night to respond as they were watching. Legendary comedian Bob Newhart, who, by the way, made his mark in the comedy business by doing one-sided telephone conversations.
Okay.
That's what he would do, a shtick. He'd be like the dry cleaner that lost Superman's costume. He'd be like, hello? Yes, Superman, I understand you're angry.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
No, I realize that your costume doesn't have a big bat on the chest, yeah. And he would just fill in the blanks.
That's funny.
Bob Newhart tweeted, I heard that Clint Eastwood was channeling me at the RNC. My lawyers and I are drafting a lawsuit, which I thought was strong. Chris Rock tweeted, Clint Eastwood on the phone with Obama now. It all went according to plan, sir. And, of course, Charlie Daniels. Clint Eastwood made my day.
Sure.
Charlie Daniels responded. So, a lot of people having their say on the Twitter about how things went.
I didn't see it, but sure hard to get away from the coverage today.
You can find it anywhere now. You can go online and check it out if you got 12 minutes to spare. It's fascinating. Jerry Seinfeld has announced a bunch of stand-up performances in New York City for the month of October. It's been 14 years since he's performed there.
Wow.
I found that hard to believe. Because once he stopped doing the show, I know he did a ton of stand-up. I guess it's mostly Vegas. That's where he performs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fills the big rooms at the casinos. But he's going back to New York City for the first time in 14 years, and apparently Colin Quinn, former Saturday Night Live star Colin Quinn, will be opening for him. He's going to do a show in each of the city's five boroughs. So Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, the Bronx, and we'll leave it out.
The other one?
The other one. We'll be doing a show there as well. So you can...
Wait, what did you say? You said same again?
Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, the Bronx.
Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, the Bronx.
It's five boroughs.
Yeah, the other one is whatchamacallit.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks, Bean, for that clarification.
I'm glad we restated that to come to the same conclusion.
You had to restate the question so that you could get nothing more.
It's whatchamacallit. Well, I thought it would just come to me when I heard it.
What'd you say, Dave?
Manhattan?
I said Manhattan.
You said Manhattan.
Douchebag.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help. Dave, he never listens to me anyway. Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, the Bronx.
And the other one. Doesn't matter, guys. The other one.
Is it Pennsylvania, right?
Stop it. Is Long Island a bit? No, Long Island's not one of
them. I don't think it is. That's the first
Puerto Rico.
It's not Puerto Rico.
Little Puerto Rico.
It's not Little Puerto Rico either. If anyone knows the fifth borough,
no one cares. Email Ralph at krock.com.
Oh, there it is. Okay, now I see it. Well, I looked it up. I got it now.
What is it?
Never mind. I don't want to interrupt your show. Go ahead.
Come on.
Staten Island.
Staten Island, of course.
Yeah, I didn't think of it either. So.
Yeah, there we go. Chris Lighty, former manager of Sean Diddy Combs, was found dead yesterday with a gunshot wound to the head.
Ooh, that seems bad.
Yeah, he was just 44 years old. He was responsible for the careers of such stars as LL Cool J and 50 Cent as well. Police in New York City are calling it a suicide.
Ouch.
Publicly. No, I'm sure that's what it is.
So young, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's effing shaky, if you ask me. And the Russians have announced they have passed a new law.
Okay.
That will force them to start editing The Simpsons and South Park.
Oh, those have been deemed not good for their people?
Russian legislators came up with a new law that says it is for the protection of children from information harmful to their health and development. That means channel 2x2, 2x2, however you say it, which shows American cartoons, says they will edit out all the itchy and scratchy moments from The Simpsons.
That's funny.
Because they are too violent. Itchy and Scratchy are often seen drinking, fighting, swearing, and talking about sex. So those have to go. And in related move, South Park, they will ban any episodes where Kenny is killed. So no more, oh my God, they killed Kenny.
They must mean edit out, because if you ban the whole episode, there is no South Park.
It says the channel will not be able to show South Park episodes where Kenny is killed. Isn't that all the episodes?
I would think.
I think so.
I mean, in the later episodes, they didn't do it every time, but...
Yeah. Pretty Woman, the film Pretty Woman, will be banned because it shows that a woman can marry a millionaire if she becomes a prostitute. I think they may have missed the theme of that
maybe
particular movie.
Misunderstood that one.
American Beauty will be banned.
because it contains both homophobia and a gay propaganda. You can't have it both ways. You can't ban it for homophobia and because it pushes the gay agenda. You got to take a side, Russia. And this is my favorite part. Romeo and Juliet, in any interpretation, will be banned in Russia. Because it promotes underage sex, suicide, and denies family values.
When did Russia get so uptight, by the way? I thought they were anything goes.
Romeo and Juliet! Banned.
It's been fine for the rest of us for 400 years, but now all of a sudden they're too sensitive for it.
Yep. Magical.
That is weird.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy is 37 years old today. Chris Tucker from Rush Hour celebrates his 40th birthday. Queen Rania of Jordan. She is 42 years old.
Not a lot of politicians make your birthday list, but good call on that one, Ralph.
Deborah Gibson, also known as Debbie back in the day. She's 42. Richard Gere is 63 years old. And singer Van Morrison has been around a long time, just torturing people. He is 67 years old. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tuesday morning. It's a long weekend. Tuesday morning, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have Rob Delaney. And we have, no doubt, the band in the studio.
No doubt.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why not me? This is America.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Open Gangnam Style.
Roll another one.
That's cray.
Just like the other one.
Well, that sounds bad when you say it like that.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's real talk right there, man.
I need another hit.
What type of car are you in?
I'm in a Fisker.
A what?
A Fisker. F-I-S-K-E-R.
What kind of car is that?
It's a Fisker.
Roll, 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 another one.
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Just like the other.
You know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
This one seems to be about to end.
That's not brown rice.
I don't have another cent.
This is the single most evil thing I have ever experienced, and I've seen a lot.
This is not my kind of comedy.
There comes a point in every man's life when he has to say, enough is enough. For me, that time is now.
It's over. Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
It's over. And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
Well, my mother liked it a whole lot.
Your mother was wrong.
We came. We won. We saw. We are.
What?
This is it. We've had enough.
Crap, that's the end.